LANOC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, and it's Tuesday morning. Guys, I have a serious topic to broach. I don't usually like to get too deep into this emotional stuff.
Yeah, you also don't like to get political, and here you go.
I don't, but I got a lot of feelings on this, and we need to talk about it. Has it happened to you where you've had somebody who's been in your life that has been you've been close to, they've been a friend, and then you just you grow apart in a way that they maybe it's political, maybe it's a social issue. Like, for instance, Jensen, could you be friends with if you found out somebody in your circle of friends was an anti-vaxxer? Is that somebody you could stay friends with?
No, that is not.
A deal breaker, right?
Yeah, because then I'm having a kid and then I'm nervous to bring them around that person, a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Allie, if you had a friend that you get together a couple times a year and then you realize one day at lunch that he or she is a racist, is that person now in your life or is that person, is it bye-bye time?
Do they pay for lunch? Or
of course not, Bean. You say goodbye.
You don't be, you're not friends with a racist, right?
No.
You don't want that. Okay. Well, this is the problem that I'm having that I need you guys to help me with.
Okay.
My good friend, not radio friend, but actual real-life friend, Russ Leatherman, who we all have known and loved for years. He was Mr. Movie Phone. Then he was the movie man. He's the six-second reviews guy. He's one of the very few people that I follow on social media. And yesterday, he responded to a tweet from a account called Better Food Daily. They were hyping some sort of cashew. And he said, I never met a nut I didn't like. Actually, not true. Walnuts suck are the words that he put down on his Twitter account that went through me like a knife.
Oh, right. Changed you.
Jeez.
Walnuts suck, Russ? That's what he put out there for the world to see. Like, he's got a family, you know, and he's going to say that on the internet.
It lives forever.
It does live forever. That's not going to be something that he could just pretend didn't happen or gloss over and think, hey, that wasn't important. He said walnuts suck.
Yeah.
So I wrote to him and I said, you're coming at walnuts when Brazil nuts still exist? Sad. He wrote back and said that walnuts are the ruiner of all cookies and breads. And don't even get me started on putting them in salads. Walnuts are one of the three or four best things you could ever put into a salad.
Bean.
No.
What is wrong with this guy?
Russ Leatherman 2020.
Yeah, he's
he's right.
What?
You're not finding a choir here.
We're not with you. What is happening here?
Walnuts taste like hot dirt.
I have to cut all of you out of
you
my
do.
Life?
You do. And before we go to Mr. Leatherman, I said to him that Bean will rue the day he brought up this discussion. And he said he has no idea what he's up against. I know my nuts.
All right. Let's need that tape, Chip, if you don't mind.
If I've already
Let's
marked
go
it.
To my my former friend. We used to be close, but now I've got to change my phone number. Russ Leatherman is on the phone. Hey, Adolf Hitler, how are you?
Oh, jeez.
What's up, lesbian?
Russ, this is what's going to tear us apart after all of these years. How are you coming at walnuts?
Well, first of all, let me just say I'm very excited because I get an email from Dave. And I'm thinking, I see the email, and I'm thinking, oh, so Kevin wants to talk about Alita Battle Angel, or Allie wants to talk about Isn't It Romantic, right? Like, it's time to talk about movies again. And Dave's like, nope, nuts. We're going to talk about nuts.
It's nut talk time.
And I'm
yes.
thinking, have we each reached the end of radio, kind of like you get to the end of the internet, and then it's over? This is the end of radio.
That's been true for this show for a number of years, actually, Russ. It's a miracle we're still on the air. All right, I see that you're trying to divert attention from your awful, awful opinion. But why? How did it happen that you typed the words "walnuts suck" yesterday? And do you already regret it? And did you agree to come on as an apology?
No, none of that. First of all, I do know my nuts, right? And I love nuts because I believe that many nuts belong on many food items. For example, you have some pad thai. Right, you go with the extra peanuts. Mm-hmm. Now, some would argue that peanuts not actually a nut, a legume, but they are a fantastic food. Wait, are we getting too technical? Are we too deep?
No. I think the excitement in you saying it was.
By the way, that's a fair point, but I think for most of us, we consider peanuts part of the nut family,
yes.
even though technically they're not. I think most of us would consider that a nut.
Yeah, but walnuts. And pecans, right? They're the same god-awful sort of nut.
Oh,
yeah.
They don't
belong in any... They are the ruiner of breads. Bring me a nice banana bread. You put a nut in it, I'm just not getting close to the bread.
I'm not buying a banana nut muffin if it doesn't have walnuts on the top of it. That's what makes it a special treat.
It is gross and disgusting.
I didn't know we were going to get so controversial this morning.
And walnuts in a salad, Russ, it's a phenomenal accoutrement.
Unless they're candied walnuts. And even then I say that's just candy over hot dirt.
It's candy over hot dirt.
I think
you tried to come. Somebody came back with Brazil nuts.
Brazil nuts are easily the worst nut. Easily.
A hazelnut. What's the difference between a Brazil nut and a hazelnut? They're both white, mealy, sort of. It's a mushy nut is what it is.
Yeah, I put both of them at the bottom of the list. I agree with you that they're terrible nuts. But this is what I'm saying. You can't say that walnuts suck. And not first. I mean, are you saying you're not
going to find a walnut lover? You can look high and low.
I am a walnut lover.
You're the only one.
Russ, in your opinion, because we're gonna track this and we're gonna invite some calls at 1-800-520-1068. And if you had to come up with your list of the best nuts, say top five, what would they be? What's the best nut to start with?
Well, I do believe you can put a nut on almost any food item, except even in a cookie, no peanuts, right? Like in a cookie or a bread, no peanuts. I love me some cashews.
Yeah!
Cashews.
Wait. Everyone loves cashews. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Love those. Pine nuts. I'm a fan of.
They're on my top five.
Yeah.
Pistachios.
They're on my top five.
Before you move on, would pine nuts ever be something that you would eat by themselves, or do they only work as an accessory?
Oh, I eat them by themselves, by the handful.
Really?
Yeah, me too.
I never heard of that before.
I'm just saying, Russ and I know our nuts.
Yeah, so you're saying pine nuts top five, though.
Mm-hmm.
Any love for almonds?
I got it.
What are those?
Wait, thank you, Russ.
Go.
Any love for what?
Exactly.
Almonds.
Almonds, you dick.
I do enjoy the Almond Brothers, yes. Is that
Why are you saying almonds?
I sing almonds.
I've been a fan of the Almond Brothers forever.
Yeah, I do enjoy Hellman mayonnaise also.
All right. I'll say almonds.
Hashtag nut cheese.
I'll say almonds. All right. How about almonds? Any love for almonds?
No.
No.
Well, yes, Bean, we like the almond. And we like to eat them, and we like them when they're coated with stuff.
Okay.
And a handful of almonds every day keep you pooping straight. So that's good.
Can I give you my top five real quick?
Yeah, please.
Last night, then we'll go
to some calls in the next second.
I stayed up for hours. My top five: cashews, number one; pistachios, number two; peanuts, three; four, almonds; five, macadamias.
Okay.
Oh, see, now macadamias, I got no room for at all.
Macadamia is number one on
for
my
you?
List.
Yes,
whoa! Number one. Number one, followed by pistachio, pine nuts. Are corn nuts nuts?
I don't think corn nuts count. I don't think they're real nuts.
What about D's?
Oh, D's nuts, I think we can all agree on.
That's my top five.
That's ceremonial number one. All right, so we're going to take your calls. All the phones are already ringing off the hook, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067.
It's like Apple Talk times two.
It is. We're going to take some calls, and we're going to try to sort this thing out and find out what the real top five list is. But, Russ, I'm going to give you one last opportunity to apologize for smearing walnuts if you want to remain friends with me.
I may smear walnuts, but it's not going to be because we're friends.
That took a real turn.
Hold on. I'm thinking about that sounded messy. Okay. All right, Russ. Love you. Thank you for coming on. We'll talk again soon.
Hashtag nut cheese. Let's go.
Okay. Bye-bye. I don't even think Lightning comes in anymore. I can't remember the last time I saw him. Trey writes in, Team Walnut all the way, number two behind pecans, he says. Any thoughts?
No, that's not a true statement.
Kelly writes, hashtag walnut lover. Never thought I'd say this, but I am team bean because walnuts are awesome, you guys, and you're all wrong. We're going to get to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one ahead of the Chili Peppers. Let's make it Dan line three, please. Pico Rivera. Dan, what say you? It's Nut Talk on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, wow. I guess that's the first time for that. My number one is cashew. Even though everything we're talking about so far aren't really nuts. Cashews are accessory fruits. Walnuts are droops. But I got to go cashew.
Beat it, nerd.
Beat it, nerd indeed. Look, in all practical purposes, a cashew is a nut, right? It may not be classified that way by science, but when you go out for nuts, cashews is something that you buy and enjoy, right?
Oh, it's the best, too.
Because otherwise, it's technically what? Like a seed or something, right? So now we're going to get into, like, sunflower seeds and stuff like that. Wait. That just mucks everything up.
Hold on, Dan. You said that walnuts are what? A droop?
A droop, yeah.
That says it right there, right? Droopy nuts. Who wants droopy nuts, Dan, right?
All right. We appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling. Hey, the older you get, the droopier they get, too. I'm warning you now. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to contribute to Nut Talk. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up next on K-Rock. This is a sad day for me as I realize I'm going to have to start cutting a lot of people out of my life.
I mean, it's trending worldwide. Hashtag Nut Talk.
Casey, who I thought I was friends with, is the finger on the button lady here at the Kevin and Bean Show. My top five nuts are regarding our current Kevin and Bean topic. Number one, Marcona almonds. What are those? What's a Marcona almond?
Wow, it's an almond that's good at radio?
Created radio?
Then she has number two almonds. So her top twos are both almonds. All right, number three, macadamia nuts.
Nice. Ugh.
Number four, walnuts, right on.
Yuck.
Number five, Brazil nuts, the worst nut. She says cashews, pistachios, pecans, and hazelnuts can all die.
Boo. Okay, pistachios should live forever in our hearts.
She is all over the map there with that, isn't she?
Those are a lot of hot takes.
Garrett writes in, walnuts are the worst. Why would I eat a nut with paper film on it? I'd rather my kid punch me in my nuts than eat walnuts.
Amen.
Worst protein ever. Burn all the walnut farms. Rachel, mostly walnuts and pecans. Almonds are trash. So a lot of people have a lot of opinions on this.
Can I read you my favorite tweet?
Yeah.
All caps with the clapping hand in between from Lizeth. Oriana. Mm-hmm. Cashews are seeds. They give us one of the most wonderful fruits in the world. Your other faves could never.
So she is team cashew.
She's insane.
All right. Let's get right back to your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with, give me Shadi, please. Line 6. She's in Glendale. She says there's a reason why some people hate walnuts.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Shadi. Welcome to the program. What do you have to say about walnuts, which is one of my very favorite nuts?
So I learned that people who don't like walnuts might have a genetic predisposition not to.
Well, there's definitely something wrong with them.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're basically deformed. Those people might also not like cilantro. So it's the same chemical compound.
I hate cilantro.
Oh, my
cilantro's
God.
My most hated food.
And mine, too. Wait, is this serious, Shadi?
Yeah, so I'm sorry. There's something wrong with you guys.
Oh, no.
So it really could. It could be that we are describing a different taste sensation. Those of us who love walnuts is not the same taste that they're getting if they've got that genetic malfunction.
That's interesting.
Yeah, is it also why I'm so hairy, Shadi?
And Allie as well, by the way, while we're being honest here.
So hairy.
Are you some sort of like scientist or something, Shadi? Because that's very smart material there.
I just waste a lot of time on the internet, guys.
Oh. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we go with Alfonso? He's line 8 up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Is he calling from Walnut?
Whoa!
This has turned into Inception here.
I'm actually on my way to work right now.
Do you work in cashew?
This just got too real.
Walnut, California.
Okay.
All right.
We're known for our California black walnuts.
Well, then God bless you.
And my personal opinion, I don't like walnuts, but I love cilantro. So I don't know if I agree with Shadi's theory there.
Okay.
So,
What's your favorite nut?
My favorite nut and the only one I eat, almonds.
Yay!
I don't eat macadamias. I don't eat pecans. I used to eat pecans, peanuts, like at baseball games and stuff, but they gave me the runs.
A lot of info there,
yeah.
Alfonso.
Guys, Alfonso from Walnut gets the runs. We know a lot about him.
We are learning an awful lot today on many topics.
Yeah.
All right, so between Shadi and Alfonso, I'm more confused than ever before. All right, here's my top five nuts, you guys. Mm-hmm. I will agree with you that cashews are the best, but only salted cashews. and this is an important distinction for me because I do eat a lot of nuts unsalted because I don't need all that salt. You know what I mean? And cashews unsalted, not great.
No, they're not great. They taste a little like leather.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
not
having,
great.
Having salt on them is good.
Number two, pistachios.
Sure.
Yeah.
Number three, walnuts. Number four, peanuts.
Yeah.
All right.
Number five, almond.
Yeah.
That's my list. I got no room for your fancy macadamia nuts. I'm sorry. So I don't think we're that far. I think, Allie, I think you and I can still be friends.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
Jensen, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let you go.
Well, I'm sure a lot of the trolls will enjoy that.
Before you ask, Kevin, yes, it's baseball.
Yes.
But the nearly unanimous choice for the National League's most valuable player for the 2018 season, Christian Yelich from the Milwaukee Brewers, is going to be joining us to talk about an awesome charity event that's going on this weekend to continue to raise more money for Thousand Oaks fire and shooting victims.
Just want to clarify, though, no baseball talk.
We won't be talking much about baseball, no.
He's a local kid, though. Went to Westlake High.
Right.
He's a
Warriors.
Hero.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a good dude.
I love that you know it's Warriors. Aw.
Go Warriors.
Big
Come
ups, 805, sometimes 818.
First, though, how about a little Bean Makes Us Guess?
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes. Why me being a dick or dumb or anything like that has anything to
all
do
relevant.
With
all
future.
All relevant. Yeah.
Really? Because I feel like we could improve that intro.
Do you guys do what I do, which is when you hear some of those clips, you go, why would I have said that ever?
Yeah. Every time.
Ever.
I think this is going to be a fun one, you guys, and very relatable. This is a topic we have all done, okay? When you check out of a hotel, it's amazing how easy it is to forget something important and leave it behind. You got a plane to catch. You've got other things on your mind. You're gathering up all your belongings, stuffing them into your suitcase. Sometimes it's a rush job. This is a survey of Australian hotels for last year. And the question was, what is the most common item left behind in a hotel room by travelers? We've all done it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sure a lot of things are coming to mind. According to this finder.com.au, the most commonly left behind items in Australian hotel rooms last year. Kevin, as usual, you get to guess first.
Dildo. Well,
it's funny you should say that.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Sex toys are number eight on the list.
Wow.
I know you were kidding.
Wow.
But imagine that conversation later on where you go, oh, did I forget? Oh, no. Some poor maid had to come in, and that was that was laying there. But yes.
I got one right with a comedy answer.
Sex toys, number eight on the list. You are on the board. Beer mug, you're up next.
Got to go with phone charger.
Far and away, number one.
Oh,
nice.
In fact, one hotel last year recorded finding 370 phone chargers.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Which is more than one a day, you guys.
Wow.
But it makes sense. I mean, sometimes you have to plug it in, you know, behind the bed or something like that, or behind the bedside table. It's easy to leave that behind. But number one, well done, Beer Mug.
Wow.
Allie.
You said this was an Australian survey?
Mm-hmm.
Dingo. No?
No.
All right.
Nobody,
okay.
Nobody left a dingo behind.
Got it. Okay.
I'm sorry.
My turn?
Yes.
Waffle iron. No?
You were on a roll, too, Kevin.
One is a roll for me.
Beer mug?
I'm going to go ahead and say toiletry bag.
Toiletry is number three on the list.
Oh,
Barry's
is on fire.
I have certainly left my toothbrush in the shower before. Yeah, it's easy to do stuff like that.
Now,
Allie, you're up next.
Does that include all toiletries, like shampoo?
Yes, toiletries is just in its own category, right?
This might be weird because most people don't travel with it. Mm-hmm. I do because I like a flat pillow. Mm-hmm. Would pillow be on there?
Pillows are number six, Allie.
Oh.
People who bring their own pillows to hotels, which I totally get. I don't do that, but I certainly miss my pillow at home when I'm on the road. That's
for sure.
You should
bring it with you.
All right, Kevin, you're next.
Machete.
I'm sorry.
I mean, people remember that.
It is Australia.
Yeah.
So people could definitely be out there bushwhacking, right?
Keep
speaking of someone who needs bushwhacking, Beer Mug, you're up next.
It's true. How about laptop or tablet?
Oof. You know, I was very surprised to not see that on the list. I would have expected that, too. Some sort of computer deal or phone or something like that. Yeah, none of that is on the list. All right, Allie.
How about just your clothing item?
Clothing is number two. By the way, shirts are first. Mm-hmm. Underwear is second.
Ew.
Who's leaving their underwear behind?
Who wears underwear? Wait, what?
One hotel found 880 pieces of clothing last year.
Wow!
In 1 year. Most items of clothing are either left hidden out of sight in the wardrobe or even camouflaged on the bed. All right, let's go around one more time, and then I'll reveal the top 10 most forgotten items in Australian hotel rooms last year. Kevin, your final guess.
I just know, based on my own life, of something that I have to have every night to go to sleep, and that's a sock monkey.
That's me?
Oh, I'm sorry, that's you. Sorry, I got us confused.
And I did one time leave my sock monkey behind in a hotel. And had to drive back there and had to go down into the laundry room where they were cleaning all the sheets and stuff in these giant washer dryers until they got done with the loads. And
oh, right.
Yeah.
And to be clear about Sock Monkey, that has nothing to do with it,
and
right?
And Sock Monkey was returned that he was fine, by the way. All right, Muggs.
Bean actually does travel with Sock Monkey.
Your final guess, Muggs.
How about illicit drugs?
Mm. Oh, drugs is a great guess. No.
No.
Allie, your final guess.
What about like a sleep mask?
No sleep masks.
Mm.
Can I have one more? Just one more guess? Money.
Well, number 10 is wallet. Yeah, so that one might include money.
Okay.
Money, they think, is a tip for the cleaning people.
Depending how much it is.
If you leave your whole wallet, though, that's
probably not that.
That's a good
tip.
Number 9 on the list. Items most left behind in Australian hotel rooms. Jewelry.
Mm. Oh,
of
sure.
Of course.
Which I can certainly see doing. Number 8, Kevin nailed sex toys. Number 7 was eyeglasses or sunglasses.
Sure. Of course.
Number 6, pillows. Number 5, shoes, which I guess somehow
I thought that would be clothing.
Shoes would
different
be clothes.
Clothing.
Yeah.
Sorry, shoes, yeah.
Okay.
Number 4, books. People leave books behind.
Losers.
Right? Who reads?
Reading.
Then 3, toiletries. Number 2, clothing. And number 1, mobile phone chargers. So, Muggs, did you win this game?
Oh, we tied. Muggs and I.
It was a tie.
Yeah.
But this has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
So, one day last week, Thursday or Friday, I randomly brought up that I had a racist dog. How did we get on the topic? Do you remember, Allie?
Because I did a story about how dogs... A study found that dogs are the best sensors of whether someone's a good person or a bad person.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I said that may be true, but I think dogs can also be racist. And I
think they can be trained that way, Bean.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
Just saying.
Look, this was my dog, Santa's Little Helper, and she would bark at all black people. And I don't know why. She was very white, by the way. Santa's Little Helper, clearly she was racist.
That's a given,
she was also
yeah.
a super white dog.
The whitest dog ever?
She was very white.
But you say it was Aryan?
I think you could fairly say that she was Aryan.
Wait, only though?
Only black people, yes.
What?
And I'm telling you that it wasn't, and I don't understand why it was. I mean, now granted, I lived in Seattle at the time, so she didn't have a lot of exposure to African Americans because it's one of the whitest cities in the North America.
Right.
Why you moved there.
Why you went there, sure.
When we did come across an African American person, even on the street, even when she was in the car, just in the passenger seat looking out the window, and we drive by a black dude, she just started howling her head off. There was just something. There she is now. It was the weirdest thing, and I could never she never had a bad experience with a black person. And before you ask,
that must have been so embarrassing.
Of course, yes, of course. Because one minute you're walking and she's just so sweet and so cute, and the next minute you're an attack dog. There, people start looking around for the fire hoses. You know, of course, it was terrible.
Jeez.
So I brought that up. And then we started hearing from all sorts of other people, like Caesar, who tweeted at me, "Hey, Bean, I was listening to today's podcast, and I heard you mention that you had a racist dog. Well, you're not alone. I once had a roommate that was an African-American, super nice dude. Honestly, until this day, I don't know why my dog Zoe always barked at the guy every time she saw him. Ever since he moved out, I've never seen her bark at anyone like that.
This makes no sense to me.
It makes no sense at all to me either. That's from Caesar. Here's from Michael. You're not alone. My 115-pound ex-girlfriend took my 100-pound pit mix on a walk in L.A. while I was out running errands. Found out that Zoe... Oh, it's another dog named Zoe, by the way. Hmm. The dog was racist. Only went after black people on their walk. And Zoe was black. Is this black-on-black crime? My girlfriend literally came home and told me that my dog was racist.
What's happening?
What's going on here, you guys?
I mean, I don't even know how that's possible.
I think this is common, guys.
What? We've heard this a lot. Okay, but how and why?
I don't know.
But it's such a weird thing.
I think if we take calls eventually, we'll hear from people that are both owners of racist dogs, but also people who, like, I think there's black people out there who just go, yeah, dogs weirdly bark at us more. And I don't know why.
Well, let's get some people on the phone. 1-800-520-1067 if you have a racist dog like Bean.
Or a racist, you've had an experience with a racist
dog. Sure. You're on the other end of Bean.
Right.
No, I could have said that better.
It was 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Allie, you heard from somebody as well who had a racist dog.
Listen, I could not wait to open this email. I couldn't open it quick enough because the subject line is, my St. Bernard is a racist bitch. I was like, okay, all right, Erin. So Erin goes on to detail that she has a St. Bernard, loves getting belly rubs, affectionate, everything. Great around white people, Hispanic people, until she put an ad in on Craigslist for free dirt. And one of the guys that showed up was an African-American man with dreadlocks. Mm-hmm. And she said her dog went straight Cujo, trying to get through the window at this guy. She thought the dog was going to break the window, just totally freaked out. She couldn't figure out what was going on with the dog, and she never acted like that again until a good friend of hers that she has known for 20 years, also African-American, came over, and the dog lost its mind. She said, my dog is a effing racist, and I don't know why. I've been telling people ever since that my dog is racist. No one seems to believe me, so I feel you, Bean. And then she goes, P.S., here's a photo of the racist bitch. And it's just the cutest dog just sitting on a chair.
An incredible bitch.
It's a very funny email, so thank you, Erin, for that.
People don't believe you because...
It sounds crazy.
It sounds crazy.
Yeah.
What was she doing with all the free dirt? Why did she need free dirt? We should really investigate that.
Also, why did the other guy tell us his girlfriend's weight?
That was odd.
Do you remember that?
A lot of specific weights.
He was
his
like,
girlfriend,
girlfriend
his dog's weight.
She was a high. Dog was 100.
By the way, Erin was having her yard redone, so she had extra
dirt.
That's
her story. Okay. She's very accepted. Mm. All right. Courtney is going to solve this one for us on line one. She's in L.A. She has the perfect explanation of why my dog was racist. Okay. I can't wait to hear this, Courtney, because it's troubled me my whole life.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So there's something called an implicit bias. I don't know if you've ever heard of what an implicit bias is or implicit biases. So, yeah, there are subconscious bias towards other people that we're not aware of. People like professors at the university and police officers typically have to take implicit biases training so that they can understand if they're biased towards certain people. But dogs can pick up on our implicit biases.
Bean is subconsciously racist.
Hates black people, and by osmosis, the dog can pick up on those.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, like, I live in a predominantly African American city now, and I walk Linus every single day, and he loves everybody, no matter who they are. He's very excited to see them and have them, you know, have them acknowledge and play with him.
Maybe you grew a little bit since Santa's Little Helper.
Maybe you don't have that bias towards all black people, but certain ones, like certain black people, maybe put you on edge, and maybe your dog.
It sounds racist. It has to turn around and be on me, by the way. Santa was the racist.
Right, but we're trying to figure out, because it doesn't make any sense logically, how a dog
would raise that dog, right? Did you raise the dog?
I did.
It was my puppy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Courtney, I reject you totally, but I love you for listening and calling. Thank you so much. 1-800-520-1067. I can't wait to get to Cindy, who had a dog that hated all white people. Turnabout is fair play. We'll take your calls on racist dogs when we return on K-Rock.
This is Heather Weezer. Let's take one phone call. We're talking about racist dogs, and Heather in Riverside is on the line. Good morning, Heather.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I have a dog named Zoe, and she totally only barks at black people also.
What's with dogs named Zoe? It's the third one.
This is the third one out of what, four? I'm sorry.
Yeah, she watches TV aggressively, barks at black people on TV also.
What?
Oh, my God.
Jeez, I hope you don't watch Blackish.
That's a nightmare. You can't hear a thing.
Oh, the neighbors calling, the cops, the whole thing.
We're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to figure it out. But give our love to Zoe, but keep her safe and keep her, everybody around her safe, okay?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let's see some Weezer, then we'll take your calls next on the world famous K-Rock.
Weezer was fantastic at Coachella over the weekend.
They're always fantastic.
Yep, always good, no matter what.
Never disappoint. As opposed to the Kevin and Bean Show, where today we bring you racist dogs, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Jensen, you were saying you hope to hear from somebody who is on the receiving end of a racist dog, too, right?
Yeah, I want to hear from the other side.
Because like, what does that feel like?
It can't be good.
I don't understand any of this.
No.
I don't either. Right. San Jose Helper, my dog was racist. I don't know why. Lori, La Habra, line 5, you have a story to show.
Huh?
You have a story to share as well.
Hi.
Lori.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, growing up, we had a little white Cocker Spaniel mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Japanese American,
mm-hmm.
and every time a white person would come in our house, she would lunge at them and snap at them.
Mm. Oh, no wow. kidding! Yeah. That has to be so embarrassing, right?
Yeah, kind of, because she would pick out that one person and go after them.
So when you had,
I don't know, maybe they forgot to take their shoes off at the door or something, but.
So when you had Asian friends over or African-American friends over, dog was totally fine.
Yeah.
Was your dog named Zoe?
No.
That does seem to be the racist name. Okay, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Willie, East Los Angeles. Line 4, please, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Willie.
Hey, how's it going?
Let's say P.
Yeah, let's just say P if you don't mind, because we get in trouble.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he pees on them, and I kind of did a little experiment, and he does do that on them. So
why?
You know.
Have you ever considered why?
Maybe he's colorblind? I don't know.
Well, I mean, that doesn't really...
He's colorblind.
Yeah, that doesn't
That
actually,
works the other way.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Monica Long Beach up next, line 6 here on K-Rock.
Hey, Monica.
Hi, good morning.
We're very perplexed by this help.
Yeah, do you have any experience with racist dogs?
Yes. One of my closest friends, she's Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
All of my friends are Asian. As soon as they walk in, their German Shepherd, Daisy, she greets them with, like, love and affection. As soon as me and another one of my friends who's Mexican walks in, then she starts being aggressive and then yapping at us and trying to bite us.
That dog hates Mexicans.
That's crazy.
And what do you think that is?
She's not a fan of tacos.
It's very specific.
That's as good an excuse as any, I guess.
Okay.
Let's go to Armando in Glendora. Hi, Armando.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, party people?
Good, thank you.
Good. What happened?
All right, so it's the 4th of July about 3 years ago, and I'm at Pismo Beach, and I'm walking. I left my party, and I'm walking by myself, and this white little dog just attacked me. Like, it's about a 10-pound dog just attacked me. Out of everybody in that pier, everybody was white except for me.
So that dog just made a beeline for you specifically and no one else on the pier?
Absolutely. No one else on the pier except for me.
And what's your race? What do you look like?
I'm Mexican.
Okay, and the dog knew it.
But how? But what? I mean, but how? That makes no sense.
Because the dog doesn't like tacos, Kevin.
And he knew because the dog was like, build that wall, and ran right at him.
Pretty much. I'm pretty sure he had a Trump hat on.
Dog was checking IDs, and he's like, oh, Armando, I see.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Eric writes in from Whittier, when I lived in Monterey Park, which is predominantly Asian, my pit bull, Berlin, would lose her mind when an Asian person would walk in front of the house. She was never aggressive toward anyone else. She made it very clear that she was racist toward Asians. So it seems to be pretty much spread around.
Dogs are racist, mother effers.
Do you think it has anything to do with that implicit bias that the first caller called about, or do you think this is too many people?
Honestly, I don't know. It seems like it's too many people.
All right, let's squeeze in a couple more. Let's try Nathan's line two, Santa Ana. Hey, up next on the Kevin DeMeade Show.
Hey.
Morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
What's up?
Hey, so I had a dog when I was a kid, a shepherd dog. And the shepherd dog I had did not like fat white people.
No.
It attacks fat white people anytime he got a chance. I'm Hispanic. My son's Hispanic.
So wait, so skinny white people, fine. Fat white people, no?
Yeah, no. Huh. For the reason, if you were over 250, he didn't like you.
Okay. I mean, that's...
And the
the reason?
The reason was that... Yeah, the reason my mom told me when I was a kid was because it was a shepherd dog, and I guess it thought that fat white people were cows or sheep.
Come on.
I love his mom. Come on. Let's give it up for Nathan's mom. It's amazing.
All right, Kevin.
Yes.
You were out yesterday.
Yes.
But it was the great Dr. Demento's birthday.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Many of our listeners grew up with Dr. Demento on KMET and then later on KLOS. He not only made Weird Al's career, but he made thousands of records hits because of first exposure on the show. And Allie had a very personal childhood memory of Dr. Demento that we wanted to explore a little bit.
I sure did. Yeah, my dad had a tape or a record that he had heard on the Dr. Demento show of a farting contest. And when I tell you a farting contest, it was full-blown, like a color guy, and they are going back and forth.
You don't need a color guy.
There's a farting pole that if you rub up against it, that will help you with the fart. There are all different names of the farts. This is just what I remember as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I just remember laughing hysterically, and my dad with tears streaming down his face listening to this. Like, I used to be like, Dad, can we listen to the fart contest? It is one of the funniest things ever.
Or is it?
And that was the conversation. Bean's like, there's no way that holds up. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it might if we can
find
it.
And you haven't heard it since you were a little kid with your dad.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
Well, most people haven't right now who are listening to the radio. It was made in the 1940s, by the way. In the 1940s, it was made by Canadian broadcasters, and it's called The Battle at Thunderblow. All right? The Battle at Thunderblow.
Already in.
Here's how the farting competition begins.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? It is our privilege to bring you at this time an eyewitness report of the first international trepidation contest. We are speaking to you from the ringside of the great Maple Leaf Auditorium, which is packed to the rafters with spectators, eager and curious. For the benefit of my listeners who are not acquainted with the facts relating to this event, it might be well to describe the two contestants.
By the way, I love this guy.
I do too.
This
fantastic.
This guy is where I want to be in my broadcast career one day.
Lord Windermere from Wapping Foghole in Devonshire is, of course, the champion of the British Empire.
And I'm also thinking about moving to Wapping Foghole. I think I'd like to live there.
The challenger is Paul Boomer, native son of Australia, who I understand worked his way to Canada in the crew of an ocean freighter carrying a load of Melbourne cabbage, upon which... So it is stated, Boomer trains exclusively.
Well, yeah, because if you're on a cabbage ship, that's what you want to use to train your farting, right?
Sure.
All right, so we don't have... the thing is 15 minutes long, so it was very difficult to narrow down. I'll play a little bit of the ringside interview with Paul Boomer, who is the challenger here against Lord Windermere.
And here, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr. Paul Boomer. Will you say hello to our audience, Mr. Boomer?
Hello, Canada! Hello, Canada!
Now tell me, sir, when did you first realize that you were proficient enough to take a shot at the Empire Championship?
Well, ever since I was a little nipper, I liked to fart. I remember I used to make my mother and father laugh their bleeding heads off when I used to let one go in church during the announcement of the ladies' aid.
Excuse me, Mr. Boomer, on the radio, we call it crepitating.
Now look here, Cobber. What I always says is, a fart's a fart, whether you raise up on one cheek and sneak, or whether you give it a full blast like I do.
All right, so he's got a lot of approaches, a lot of different ways to handle it. Again, I won't spoil how it ends, but I will give you some of the play-by-play commentary of the challenger, Paul Boomer. And I think this is the part that you were describing yesterday, is you cannot believe, Allie, how many different kinds of farts there
yes.
are. Well, I mean, these are world
Come
champions.
Come on, Paul.
Come on, Paul. Let's see.
Now the house lights are dimming. And the great flood of high-powered electric lights cascade down onto the center of this great arena where stands, in simple eloquence, the farting post. The farting post is about 4 feet high and is decorated with red, white, and blue bunting up to about 9 inches from the top. The bare top section is worn smooth by the grip of many hands in previous contact. And now a hush falls on the vast throng as Boomer walks slowly, deliberately to the farting post. He's exuding confidence, and he gives one last all-encompassing grin to the tense audience as he grips the farting post between a pair of hands that look as though they could splinter the post.
I mean, aren't you just on the edge of your seat right now in anticipation? Like, what is going to happen? What's he going to start with?
Let's find out.
Now he flexes his knees, much in the manner of a boxer. He seems to be concentrating on the very top of the farting post. You can hear a pin drop, and here it comes. Oh, a beauty, a beauty. I think it was a triple flutter blast. Yes, that's what the judge signals. A triple flutter blast. That gives him 25 points right off the bat. And another of the same, and another 25 points. That followed by one, no, two fuzzy, I beg your pardon, three fuzzy farts in rapid succession. It's amazing how this man can change pace and style of offering by a slight, simple shifting of his buttock area. He's still gripping the post in complete concentration. Boomer now has a score of 65. Those last three fuzzy farts at 5 points apiece, adding 15 to his previous score. And now here's something coming. A flooper! A flooper! A perfectly executed flooper! What's that? I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That was a follow-up flooper. A follow-up flooper. The second time in the history of this sport that a follow-up flooper has been achieved in open competition. The only other time, I believe, was during the World Series held in Europe in 1783. During the course of this series, Francois Fouffe, the famous French farter, after leaving a follow-up flooper, defeated Sandy McWind, his Scottish opponent, by only one bloop and then dropped dead.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't know there was so much tragedy in this sport. What, a little more?
Yes, please.
Enjoying it, Ellie?
Yes, please.
Well, this certainly has been a whirlwind session. I think that Paul Boomer is about played out, or blown out, as they say. What am I saying? There's a fuzzy fart and another. That gives him 10 more points, and he's not through yet, apparently. Wait a minute, here comes a threep. Oh, a little threep. Worth only 2 points and very dangerous. And another threep. Well, he's certainly putting up a fighting finish. Four threeps, a very hazardous fart because of the danger of plotching. But giving him 8, a very valuable point. And there he throws up his hands. He throws up his hands as a signal that he's finished. And the crowd gives him a tremendous ovation. He's sitting down, looking a little pale, a little wan perhaps, but smiling happily at the crowd. This man has a definite charm about him that has endeared him to all except the most rabid Windermere fans.
I won't spoil how it ends, but there are some very controversial events that happen when Lord Windermere gets up there.
Bean, I've got to ask you, because when you said, listen, I'll go through the tape, I was delighted because I knew it would bother Bean.
Oh, I hate farts.
Because he hates farts. He hates everything like this.
Yes.
What was your reaction to this?
Phenomenal.
Because of the announcer, am
because
I right?
Of the announcers, yes.
It holds
of the
up. It holds up.
Hey, Dave, King of Mexico, I want you to come in for this next segment. You guys got to talking. Was it because money was in that you guys got to talking about nicknames last week?
I believe that's where
I believe
it started.
That's what it was. But this idea came to us from, you know, how we do that reached across to the seniors in the world. Like, we have older people come in and intern. So we have this guy named Ruben, who's, what is he, 76?
I think he stopped counting because gets too long.
So yeah. Ruben is the one that came up with this. God bless him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just glad his brain is still functioning at his age.
It's amazing.
You know, he missed a day last week because he's a great-grandfather now.
Right.
Our intern.
And also, he never comes in the studio anymore because his walker's too big for the door.
Yeah. We put the little tennis balls on the bottom thinking that would help.
It didn't.
No.
By the way, for folks who haven't met Ruben, he's like 30. Okay? But it fascinates us that he's an intern. So we started talking about nicknames. And first of all, before I talk about me being called Bean my entire life, Jensen, have you ever had a nickname?
No one has ever nicknamed me.
But that is so interesting.
I kind of have it. Like, I have a name that sounds like a last name, which a lot of people assume is my last name. Mm-hmm. But it I think people just have been fine. My mom says Gents, but that's an abbreviation.
Yeah. How about you, Allie?
In college, it was like Rough Riders, and I was like, mount up. What?
Your nickname was Rough Riders?
No, it wasn't.
You said it was, you told me it was Throaty. Is that not true?
Well, you were throaty. I loved the snort. I became Bean, and I wish we're going to be taking your calls on this with the nicknames. If you have interesting stories or interesting nicknames, in particular, if you have nicknames you hate, any variation of those, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I wish I had a great story as to why I am called Bean. Of course, I have no memory of it because, you know, I lost my memory. But my parents tell me that it was because of two things. One is because my given name is Gene, and it's not uncommon for somebody to have a nickname that rhymes with their real name. And the other reason is just because I was always so darn tall. I mean, I was like 6'1" in Little League, and parents used to complain that I couldn't possibly be 12 to play on those teams, you know? So I think it was because of String Bean, maybe, mm-hmm. something like that, or Jack and the Beanstalk or something like that. So they started calling me Bean when I was, you know, 6, 7 years old. So it's not a radio name for me. It's a lifelong nickname. Okay. Now, how about you, Dave, the King of Mexico? That's an unusual name.
Yeah, well, remember, I had two nicknames here. First, it was Half Salad.
You were Half Salad.
You guys mocked me because the first time I went to lunch with you guys, I ordered a Half Salad because this little intern couldn't afford lunch, and that's all I could get. But I didn't know the guys were going to pay. And then the second one is King of Mexico, which you know me as now, where Jimmy Kimmel gave me that name because I failed Spanish in high school. I thought it was very funny that I did not speak Spanish. So he goes, "What are you, the King of Mexico?" And that stuck, and here I am.
It did stick. And I remember that around that time, we were so amazed because even more than now, you speak English as it's a second language. And it's such a surprise.
You're trying to figure out your first.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was everybody's surprise, which is, you know, I think your rebuttal to, "Hey, you don't speak Spanish," was, "Well, you don't speak Spanish either." And then Jimmy said, "Well, I'm not the King of Mexico." So a very appropriate nickname for
you. Yeah, so it's perfect for me.
1-800-520-1067 will take your calls. Beer Mug, of course, his real name is Johnny, but he is named Beer Mug because he has a tattoo of a beer mug on his foot.
We got a tweet from Jason Johnson that said his nickname growing up was Sugar Free because he's diabetic. Oh. He says he's 42 and still called Sugar Free. In fact, that's his at name on Twitter, Sugar Free 1977.
By the way,
Jason.
That's an awesome nickname, too.
It really is.
How about you, Chip? A lot of people don't know Chip's not your real name.
Yeah, because I worked at Disneyland before I came to work here. And in my intern interview, I was actually named by Psycho Mike Chip because they were going over my resume. And at the time, that's where I was working. So from day one, I was Chip here. And to the point where it took years for any of you guys to know what my real name was.
What is it?
That's true.
It's Danielle.
What?
I know,
what?
Right? But even outside of K-Rock, everyone calls me Chip now. It's just kind of just permeating everything.
Yeah. You don't look like a Danielle at all, by the way. You're totally a Chip. Hey, did you ever, just to mix it up, play Dale? Or no, are you not allowed to? If you're Chip, you have to be Chip.
It's one and the same.
What?
What?
They don't tell kids this is Chip and this is Dale?
They just do.
They guess?
No, but I'm saying, like, if that's a, you're the same height, it doesn't matter. You do
so
Chip
So what you're
or
saying
Dale.
Is you have played Dale?
Yes.
Because for a minute, I got nervous.
That changes everything.
All right. All right, Dale. Sounds good.
Let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Mark in Long Beach. I'm fascinated to hear the history of this and whether or not it was pre or post Entourage. Mark, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, longtime listener. So, yeah, it's actually from Entourage. I think I was 18, graduating high school, and everyone's like, "You're just like Turtle." And I was like, "Really? I don't think so." And years later, I'm still Turtle. Now everybody's calling me Turtle at work.
Great. Are you the least talented of your friends? Why would you be so much like Turtle?
I drove everywhere. Like, I wore the backwards hat initially, and yeah, I'm probably the least talented.
Turtle, I think you're great.
I think that's awful when you have a nickname you don't like. I hate that. I'm so sorry.
I learned to like it.
Okay.
Yeah, like a turtle. Yeah.
Like a turtle would.
Yeah, Turtle just puts up with anything. Thank you for the call, Turtle. Appreciate it. Yeah, right. Let's talk to Rover on line one, shall we, North Hollywood? Formerly known as Raul, now he's Rover. What's that deal?
What's up, party people? Good morning.
Morning.
I've been Rover for 25 years.
Wow. Where does that start?
So in junior high, one of my best friends, he was trying to get my attention, and he was saying my name over and over again, Raul. And if you say Raul over and over again fast, it sounds like a dog barking.
And then you got a common dog name.
yeah, I, well, he said, wow, your name sounds like a dog barking. We should call you Fido. And I'm like, Fido doesn't sound cool. Try another one. And they said, what about Rover? And I'm like, okay, cool. And I've been Rover ever since.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That's a weird conversation. Hey, you never even mentioned how much you'd been drinking.
No, and you know what? I could have easily have been Fido, so thank God I was Rover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, real coin toss there.
Yeah, Rover's better. Thank you for the call.
I appreciate it. Can I just say, along those lines, my Aunt Eileen, I never understood why all my uncles called her Bob. Mm-hmm. And finally they told me, and it's nothing bad, I saw Chip's eyes light up. When she was young, my uncles would call her a dog, and my grandma would get so mad. They'd be like, you're ugly, you're a dog. And then finally, they just said, you're like Bob Barker. So they just called her Bob, so my Grammy wouldn't know they were still essentially calling her a dog.
Oh, that's so
sad. Isn't that sick and twisted? My poor Aunt Eileen.
Is she still around?
Yeah.
Do you call her Bob?
Yes.
You're part of the problem, Allie.
I know.
1-800-520-1067. What's your unusual nickname? What's the story behind it? And do you hate it? All of those questions will be answered when we get right back to your calls after this on K-Rock. Taking your calls on nicknames here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. So Worm, you hang on, and Spud, and all the rest. Let's talk to Vicky now. She's in Long Beach, line 4. I think we're going to have some fun with Vicky. Welcome to the show, my dear. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. We're talking unusual nicknames, especially if you hate it. What's your situation?
So my maiden name is Gherkin. And I had my one that I don't mind is Gherky, but the one that kind of bugged me was Jerkin My Gherkin.
So long.
Hey there, Jerkin My Gherkin. How are you?
Not abbreviated at all.
Was it, did you say your maiden name was Gherkin?
Yeah, that's not my, my new last name is Zuniga.
I got to say, it's still an improvement.
Well, can you, what is it one more time?
My new last name now?
Yeah.
The way it's pronounced is Zuniga, but if we're trying to help...
Like the actress Daphne Zuniga.
Yes, like the actress Daphne.
I shouldn't have asked for clarification.
Nope. Thanks, Gherky. Thanks for everything. Talking nicknames right now, particularly names you don't like or names you can't believe you got stuck with. We're getting a bunch of reaction on this. Get right back to your calls. Nate writes in, my nickname is NATO, not for the treaty organization, but because some friends started calling me NATO Kalen during the OJ trial, and it stuck.
That's a lot like Turtle, actually.
So now he's NATO, yeah.
Everybody's got a mooch nickname.
My full name is Richard Ramirez. I went to high school in the Valley during the late 80s, and both of us, me and the Night Stalker, got married at about the same time, so my friends started calling me Killer. So now he's known it. Look, it's not like, it's not bad enough your name is Richard Ramirez. Now your nickname is Killer?
Yeah, but I'd rather take the nickname. Just call me Killer. No one will know my real name.
Yeah, maybe so. Ramirez, yeah. All right, let's get back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Erin, please. Line 1, she is in Corona. Erin, thank you for listening and for holding on and sharing your story. What's going on?
Well, my actual real name is Erendira, and my nickname is Eddie. But it's spelled E-R-I. So you're supposed to roll the R. Like, I'm Mexican, so I guess everybody's supposed to roll the R. Mm-hmm. But in junior high, my friends didn't know that, so they nicknamed me Double D. Unfortunately, I was the most flat-chested out of all of my friends.
Ironic name.
Yeah. So, wait. So E-R-I is supposed to sound like Eri?
Eddie.
But roll some R's. Chip, roll some R's for me so we can hear that, would you?
Early.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
I think I nailed it that time.
Thank you, Erin. Appreciate the call so much. Let's try Mitch, line 3, up next in the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I like the name Mitch. It's a very manly name. What's going on, Mitch? How you doing?
I appreciate that. No one else agrees with you.
Oh, Mitch is cool, dude.
So my nickname growing up was Sherman. Sherman from American Pie is a goofy redhead who ends up being probably the nerdiest character, and I, too, ended up being a tall redhead and ended up being the nerdiest character at my high school. So that is my nickname.
You sound like you're still carrying the scars of that.
Yeah, I am. It's
you could leave it behind at any moment, Mitch. Like, no one knows.
What do I do? Just tell them?
You just tell him, start everything. Calling me Hercules. Yeah.
Just be like, or just be like, hey, what's up? I'm Stifler now.
Thank you for the call, Mitch. Appreciate it. Let's try Zolma, Canoga Park, line 5. All right, you're starting with Zolma. Where do you go from there, Zolma?
Yeah, Bean, it is a name. God.
All right. What? So how did a nickname develop from that?
So, I totally forgot to mention to the phone screener. Actually, one of the first ones I had was Yokozuna because of, you know, Yokozuna, the wrestler.
Yes, that would be a good one. Cool. I like that.
no, it was not good for Google, you know, being told you're a big, fat wrestler. But the one I called about was Umsa. So growing up, I grew up in the system. So going into transitional housing, I was the new girl. And everyone was like, who's the new girl? Who's the new girl? And they're like, I think her name is Zuma. What's her name? Umsa? And they all started laughing, and it became a thing amongst them. And then they wouldn't stop calling me. So for years, I've been called Umsa.
Zuma didn't have it hard enough yet. They had to also give her a nickname.
This is turning into, I hope, some therapy for the callers, but I'm very sad about a lot of these nicknames. This is not
I love my name. You shouldn't be sad.
No, your name is great, but like Umsa, it sounds like you don't love it.
Oh, no, I love Zuma. I like Zuma now. As a kid, I hated it.
Okay.
There's too many options.
All right, good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. From the 951, Carrie writes in, my nickname is Moosey or Moosehead. I always thought it was because my mom liked moose, but I later found out it was because I was born with my left leg behind my head, and doctor said my foot looked like a moose antler. So she became Moosey for the rest of her life.
There's so many sad origins.
Yeah.
Really
actually,
are.
That's a lot better than I was thinking about Moosey.
Right?
Wait. Knuckle, who's with me?
Oh, no.
The poor woman was born handicapped.
Oh, her leg was behind her head. She's limber.
Let's go to line 8. Let's say hi to Christy. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Christy, good morning.
Good morning. So my nickname was Spud, and it came about because when I was born, I was bald, and my dad had a coworker that said, well, if you rub some potato skins on her head, she'll grow hair. And he said, but then she'd be a spud head. So my whole life it was Spud, Spud Boo, Spud Badoo-Wawa, Spud Bo, anything my dad could do with Spud.
I kind of love Spud.
I do too.
I know.
Well, it's kind of cute.
It was, but I made him retire it when I was 18 and, like, sign a letter saying he would no longer call me Spud.
Oh, Dad.
But more importantly, Christy, you grew hair from it, right?
I grew hair. Well. The funny thing is I hated it growing up. My dad passed away in 2017, and I would give anything to be called Spud Boo again.
You managed to take a very funny, sweet story and make us all sad. Thank you, Spud. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Happy Monday.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more and let's make it.
Zuma and Christy need to hang out and just kill Bean. I love it.
I agree. Wow. Richard and Laguna Niguel will be our final call. He's on line 3. Richard.
Hey, thanks.
Take us home.
So growing up, my mother, when I was born, was wondering, should I name him Russell Muffler? No, Rusty Muffler wouldn't be a good name. Mm-hmm. So instead, she went with Richard and said, and so once I got to high school, my name was Dick Muff.
I mean, your name is Dick Muff, though.
That is technically your name.
Yep. I mean, it's not really even a nickname.
It is my actual name, but yep.
Well, God bless, because I'm ready to vote Dick Muff 2020.
All right, here's one P.S. on the nickname topic we're just talking about. This is from Twitter, from the Kevin and Bean Twitter, at Kevin and Bean. Irish writes in, I worked with a woman whose last name is Marshall. Guys started calling her Short Stack in reference to the amplifiers. That lasted until she filed a sexual harassment suit. So that got out of hand in a hurry, right?
Well, it paid off.
I guess. Look.
I got problems already.
You saw my tweet?
Yeah.
We live in a divided nation for a number of reasons. We fight about politics, and we fight about guns, and we fight about right to choose, and we fight about religion. Did I say religion?
Yeah.
We fight about a lot of things, and now we're fighting about chips.
Yeah.
And I think we need to understand that people do have different opinions. It doesn't make them bad people. Doesn't make them un-American.
Bad isn't disgusting. But they are disgusting.
It's okay to have a different opinion on this topic, I think, Judson.
Mm-hmm. I'm not as mad at Bean right now as if he picked one other one.
But the nation seems to like that chip.
Well, the nation's wrong. Okay.
Lay it out for us,
Jensen.
It started with whom?
On Twitter, a comedian named Kevin Fedricks posted a video of himself and two other comedians, Tahir Moore and Tony Baker. They look to be backstage at a show. And you know those variety packs of chips that you can get at like a Costco or I guess even at a market, but it's all one company's chips.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So like they're smaller, individual sized. This was the Lay's variety pack. That's what it's called.
Yeah, so it's like four bags each, little bags of a bunch of their different products.
That's right. And they posted a video online of them ranking them and listened just to the emotions that are let loose by just trying to put them in order.
All y'all decisions cool show y'all grew up in good households.
Cool Ranch, off the rim.
Nah, cool Ranch,
off the rim.
Cool Ranch. Everything else can go to.
Oh, you ain't eating nothing.
I'm gonna go Cool Ranch, barbecue, Doritos, Fritos, Lay's, or Cheetos, Lay's, then Fritos.
You gonna disrespect?
No, Fritos. I probably wouldn't even eat chips.
You ready for this?
Okay. All right. So let's. That opened up a huge, I guess, debate online. A guy who's been coming up on this show a lot, Yashir Ali, who is on Twitter. He's like a journalist and stuff, but he posted it and he put his list up and then it spread like wildfire.
I'm telling you, this is the guy that was one of the ones that pushed Towelgate. He's the one that had so many washcloths. So
that's right.
Yashir is screwing everyone.
This is now Chipgate. And
I'm starting to wonder if Yashir is a Russian plant or something like that.
He's a bot.
He really
seems like
he goes viral very fast. So here's what's in the Lay's variety pack. And we need to now figure out, in order for me to work here any further,
all right,
I need to know where everyone stands. Because here's what's in the variety pack. Lay's regular potato chips. Lay's barbecue chips. Mm-hmm. Cheetos, which is the normal shriveled Cheeto. It's just the cheese.
Oh, not the puff.
Nope. And not the fire hot.
Just
cheese.
Normal. Okay.
Cool Ranch Doritos, cheese Doritos, and Fritos. That's what comes in the variety pack.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to let you know, a lot of the issues online fell into where Fritos laid. Where Fritos sat. Here's what I have. Do you want to hear what I have first?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because there's too much love for Fritos online. I'm going to say that out loud.
Mm-hmm. Are Fritos a garbage chip in your mind?
They're not even a chip.
I think it's a piece of corn.
Okay.
All right, here we go. And then it's not even my last, just so you know.
It's not my last.
Okay,
either.
Great. Cheese Doritos, one. Mm-hmm. Two, Cheetos. Three, Lay's barbecue. Four, Lay's original. Five, Fritos. Six, Cool Ranch.
Oh, my God.
Okay, no.
That's insane.
No.
Jensen, you and I are never going on a road trip together. I can tell you that right now.
Or do you go with him because he's not eating good stuff?
Right, and then you just get your own, all your chips? Okay,
yeah.
Bean, you go next?
I haven't ranked them in order, but I will tell you but Cool Ranch is number one by a wide margin.
No.
A wide margin.
Also, and the smell in that road trip. But no.
And barbecue Lay's are dead last by a large motion.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I got no room for
crazy.
That.
Crazy.
No.
Cheetos would be pretty low on the list for me as well.
What are you doing? Where's your top is Cool Ranch. What's your two?
Original Lay's probably.
Okay.
You know, I have a very mild palate, as you guys know.
Yes.
I'm Mr. Grape Nuts.
Yeah. Favorite food is toast.
Yeah, and I don't even care for nacho cheese Doritos either. Honestly. I think I would eat the Cool Rays and the original Lays, and I think I would just give the rest away. I would just dump the rest of them. Wouldn't even bother ranking
them. He's pretended to be a normal human for so long.
This is upsetting.
Allie, how about you? What's your number one?
Number one is nacho cheese Doritos.
Really?
I'm right with you.
Obviously. Yeah! Number two is Cool Ranch Doritos.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Number three is Lay's Barbecue.
Yes, I'm with you there.
Cheetos fell for me because I'm a fan of the puff Cheetos.
Yeah,
I don't like the shriveled up D ones.
Mm. And I'm only Flaming Hot. If Flaming Hot were on there, that would be my number one. But that's not an option.
I will say Flaming Hot might be tied for one for me if it was in, but it's not in the variety pack. So move on. Yeah.
So I've got nacho cheese, Cool Ranch, Lay's barbecue. Then I put Cheetos, and then honestly, Fritos and original Lay's can go either way because they're both ass.
When did we, as a nation, turn on Fritos?
But not
Fritos are fine in a Frito pie. On their own, it's like you took a chip, you chewed it up, you put it back together, and made it into a curl.
I will say, though, the nation liked Fritos more than you'd think.
It's insane.
Yeah, very much so. Now, Chris Evans weighed in.
Yes.
He is Captain America, of course.
Oh.
And he got a bunch of the other celebrities to start weighing in as well.
Yeah.
Chris Evans has Cool Ranch at number one, as all good Americans do.
Disgusting. Okay.
Don't then Cheetos.
Fine.
Then Nacho Cheese Doritos, which I know you guys both like. Yeah. Then Fritos.
No, too early. Too early.
No.
Too early.
Then Barbecue Lay's and then Original Lay's.
Mm. Oh, I'm not going to.
After that, Questlove weighed in.
Okay.
Also with Cool Ranch at number one, by the way.
It's not.
It seems like it. It's... Then he went Cheetos, then regular Ritos, then Barbecue Lay's, then Fritos, then regular ass Lay's. Then 90s TV star Danielle Fishel weighed in. Do you guys know her?
Yeah.
I've heard of her, yeah.
He says she is very much in agreement.
That's the only surprise on this list.
She is very much in agreement with Chris Evans, but she would switch Nacho Cheese and Cool Ranch.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
So you and Danielle need to go on a road trip together, it sounds like. Monica Lewinsky also weighed in.
Oh, all
right. She put Chili Fritos at number one?
Well, yeah,
I mean, if we were just being creative here, we could do all sorts of stuff.
Frito pie saves the day because you don't get the ass Frito taste.
Oh, no, chili cheese is a different type of Frito.
Chili cheese Frito.
Yes.
I thought she was saying, like, making a Frito pie.
No, beat it, Monica.
She also put Funyuns on the list.
Okay, Monica, stop it.
She's making her own rules still.
She maybe doesn't understand. And then she closes with, don't waste calories on the rest. So she definitely has drawn a line this year. I don't know, man. I wonder about us avoiding a civil war for reals in 2020 in America, but I think we may have a civil war for reals in 2019 in America if this if we continue discussing this list. So maybe it's best just to put it aside.
Yeah, more like Uncool Ranch. Oh, no.
Last week was the 25th anniversary of the death of Kurt Cobain, and Danny Goldberg was his very close friend and advisor at that time, had managed Nirvana, and he has written a book called Serving the Servant. Danny's going to be in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 a.m. Lot to talk about. We all remember lots of different facets of Kurt Cobain's life, but Danny was there for all of them. So that'll be a lot of fun. Coming up on K-Rock.
Everybody has to have a dream, right?
Sure.
So plus size model, Monica weighed 700 pounds.
Oh.
700 pounds.
That's a lot.
It's not thin.
Weighing 700 pounds, supersized model Monica is morbidly obese. But she's got no plans to lose weight.
The ultimate goal is to be 1,000 pounds.
Wait.
She's 700. The ultimate goal, if she can pull it off, is to gain 300 more pounds.
That's really hard to do, I would imagine.
I would think so,
to gain 300 pounds.
She's the Tiger Woods of eating. You're doubting her, but if she does it, we should celebrate her.
To be able to take up an entire seat like this one.
She's in a couch, by the way, not a seat. She wants to take up the whole thing.
I'd want to be the fattest woman in the world and become immobile.
Immobile! That's your goal!
Get her to a psychiatrist.
This is very sad.
It turns good, though, Allie.
Oh.
Hold, please.
On an average day, I'd probably eat between 6,000 and 8,000 calories a day.
The 27-year-old has the assistance of boyfriend Sydney.
Can you help me?
She has a boyfriend!
Wait, is that when it turns good to you?
No!
Oh, okay.
Wait, did she say 6,000 to 8,000?
Yes.
Yeah.
But then it was more like 10,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it'd be more.
I mean, I think she started with 6 days.
Listen, we're in a pregnant household right now. This seems kind of normal. But anyway, move on.
To see Monica getting bigger just makes me feel proud because she's achieving what she wants to do. I mean, of course, I'm not complaining. I've been into, fat girls ever since I've been into girls. Right now, we are going to make a weight gain shake.
A weight gain shake?
Oh, my gosh.
For 700-pounder.
Basically, I'll take strawberry Pop-Tarts, heavy cream, ice cream, and 2% milk, just blend it all together.
I want that guy as my boyfriend.
I was going to say, Kevin, how much did that interest you?
Really,
that
good
shake?
Relationship goals.
Hey, guys, why 2% milk?
I don't know. I don't know. You think you go with whole milk? But I'm not sure. All right, he continues.
Helping Monica pile on even more pounds, Sydney often funnel feeds her.
Funnel feeds. So a giant funnel that goes down into a tube that she sucks on, and he's pouring a whole pitcher of stuff.
They beer bong food.
Yes.
Look, I'm happy that they found each other,
mm-hmm.
but we need an intervention here. I'm with Allie. This is still sad.
Hold, please.
Okay. I started funnel feeding when I met Sid. Sid encourages me because, it's my goal, and he wants to help me reach my goal.
All right, babe, you ready to funnel? All right, you gotta let me know when you've had enough, okay?
All right, so she's sucking on the tube, and then she's getting near the end of the entire picture.
Sorry.
Could be. And he whispers,
I believe in you.
Oh, my God. What the heck?
Come on, you can do it.
He's the most disturbing part of this piece.
Agreed.
At one point in my life, yes, I did want to be the biggest woman in the world.
All right, this is where it turns.
Okay.
I wanted to be immobile. But now that I'm pregnant.
What?
What? It's kind of been a wake-up call.
I'm sorry, what?
Whoa. What?
She got now that she's pregnant. What? Now that she's pregnant. Now I got to say, this is going to be disgusting, but it's real. She unzips her pants and she pulls her entire belly out. And at the very bottom of it is her belly button. So I'm not positive
how
this
works.
Worked biologically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Right.
So that's the good part?
She got pregnant and she reconsidered everything and decided no longer did she want to be 1,000 pounds.
Okay,
Yes.
I thought she just didn't want to, she wasn't going to be immobile anymore.
Well, I mean, that's also her goal because she's going to have a kid.
I found out about 14 weeks ago, roughly, that I was pregnant. The reason why I do want to lose weight is to be able to be active with my child, you know, be able to get up and play with them and pick up after them. Yeah, you can't do that if you're immobile.
I mean, that's a good point. It's hard to argue that.
So no more funnel feeding.
No more funnel feeding.
What are they doing now? Are they jumping jacks?
I'm hoping to find out today.
That the baby's healthy.
Yeah, that the baby's healthy.
That's all we ask for.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we ask for.
Well, the baby's
funnel feeding.
The baby's got plenty of room to move around. I'll tell you that.
Listen.
The baby is living in the biggest mansion ever for an unborn child.
Bunch of nutrients.
Yeah, no. I watched This Is Us, and that was a big byline. The whole show was about her trying to get pregnant, and they wanted her to lose weight because it's so unhealthy for somebody at that weight. And I think the woman on This Is Us is about 400 pounds thinner than her.
The baby looks okay, and the baby's moving a lot.
This is the doctor.
So hopefully everything's well. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Oh.
So she's going to have a kid.
Wow.
And I feel like probably the ending of that story that we don't know yet is that she starts losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boyfriend goes, adios.
No, he takes his funnel with him.
I'm taking my funnel to someone else who appreciates it.
Yeah, that's what he's looking for, man.
You know, we've been doing this show for a long time. Some would say too long.
See,
but I'm pleased that we still keep coming up with great new ideas, like our new feature we debut in about 20 minutes called Allie's Fart Box. I'm excited that we have time to work on that today.
That's why I came back from being sick.
Sure. Allie's Fart Box in 20 minutes here on the Kevin Beach Show. You definitely are not going to want to miss that new feature. Remember when Mike Catherwood used to be on the show, Allie? He used to frequently compliment you on your fart box.
He's very kind. He'll send me a text every now and then, just keeping that up.
Right. Changing subjects. This is something that has been in the news a lot lately. And Jensen, I'll give you a chance to weigh in with your personal experience on this in a minute as well. I guess I sort of understand the frustration that particularly an older person might have if they're out in the world and the world has been one way their whole life and then it's a different way. It's tough sometimes for some old people to adapt and to change. And in particular, the subject I'm talking about is older people showing up in viral videos right now throwing a fit because somebody around them is speaking Spanish. Now, if two people are speaking Spanish in a store or at a restaurant and you're not involved in the conversation, how can that possibly bother you?
I can't imagine.
The Any olds, answers
man.
For that?
The olds. The olds are unpredictable.
It's just that's it, right? It's just the olds. I mean,
but even for them, they're not involved in any way.
If they're not involved in it, I don't understand why it could possibly bother them.
Well,
look, if you and your wife Jensen go on vacation to Spain one day, and you're speaking English to each other because that's your first language. How should a Spanish person be furious at you because you two are speaking English?
Listen, dude, they don't want to feel insignificant. And I think that's the overall thing is like when you're getting older, your mortality is up and you're thinking you're going to be replaced, basically, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how they feel about that or gay marriage or anything that they think kind of treads on their quote unquote legacy.
Yeah,
and
that could be right.
They just feel like they're extinct.
This is a San Jose woman who went into a Shell gas station this week, and two women in the store, one who worked there, greeted a regular customer in Spanish because she speaks Spanish. Mm-hmm. Both of them speak Spanish, and the woman responded in Spanish. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with this other woman who's in the shop at the time, okay? She freaks out and says, excuse me, she says, Trump needs to hurry up and build the wall, she says.
Wow.
To these people who are speaking Spanish. At that point, the woman behind the counter, one of the Spanish speakers, pulled out her phone and started recording it. Here's a little bit of that tape. And it starts with F-U, by the way. It starts with this woman with her middle finger in the air and saying F-U to the employee in the Shell station who was speaking Spanish.
You know what?
Thank you.
Are you happy about that?
Yes, I am.
Woo! Congratulations.
You know what? I'm planning on quitting anyways.
What?
And it doesn't make no difference to you because you have a senora.
I don't know what that means, by the way. You have a senora? Do you know what she's talking about?
A seniority, and she's saying it wrong.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't make no difference to you because you have a senora. You have your money. You can do whatever you want,
yeah.
Right?
But,
because you're not United States.
I was born here.
Well, show me.
I don't have to bring my certificate.
Also,
no,
do
I don't.
Well, no, I don't either.
Okay, so this woman is now demanding that the Spanish-speaking employee at the Shell station have papers on her and prove that she's a citizen.
She drunk?
She sounds wasted.
She does.
Yeah.
She's not. She's just old.
I was born here.
Well, how do you
born
prove
and
it?
Raised here because I was
Come
born
on,
here.
Prove it to me.
You know what?
Prove it to me, motherfucker.
You know
I can
what?
Prove it to you.
I am
I
not,
have my.
You're an elderly head. Lady. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm young.
Okay, this is all because the lady was speaking Spanish, by the way. And every time I encounter somebody who can speak more than one language, I am nothing but jealous.
Yeah, I want to applaud them.
Agreed.
Seriously, I'm like, look, I'm the dumbass who only speaks one language here. I shouldn't be yelling at you because you can speak more than one. All right, real quick, let me get into the taco tirade, and then I want to hear from you, Jensen. Mm-hmm. And then we want to hear from our listeners on this topic. If you have encountered this before where somebody has freaked out because somebody was speaking Spanish, particularly if you were involved on either side of that, 1-800-520-1067. Please give us a call. This story comes out of Anaheim. This is a guy, there was a little bit of confusion. I understand where this happened. He went to the Palapos Tacos on Lincoln, and apparently they have a sign outside the restaurant that talks about the Viernes special, and it's only in Spanish on the outside of the restaurant. On the inside of the restaurant, it says Viernes special. It also says Friday special. Okay, so for people who don't know, they get both. He was furious when he saw that sign, okay, because he wanted to get the special and it wasn't Friday. So he starts screaming at the employees, and again, this is another This Is in America.
It says it's Mexican. We're not in Mexico. We're in America.
And by the way, the language isn't called Mexican. It's not any of the three Mexico countries. None of them speak Mexican.
A tirade over a taco. This man in Anaheim even yells at customers who try to come to the cashier's defense.
I'm an American.
The owner of Palapas Tacos on Lincoln says the man could not understand the fish specials board because of this one word, Viernes, which is Friday in Spanish.
My cashier, she was really shaking when he left. She was like scared since he got in. He was like in a bad mood. He was like acting aggressive. He was like not having a good day.
The sign outside says Especial de Viernes. Inside the restaurant, though, it clearly says Friday in English. But even when the cashier pointed that out, witnesses say the man didn't let up. That's when the owner, Juan Del Rio, grabbed his cell phone.
What are you going to call?
Immigration.
For what?
For you.
Why?
Because you're not legal.
This is over a taco.
I mean, this is, again, you're automatically not legal or not a real American if you speak Spanish.
There is one funny guy at the beginning who yells, then go buy a hot dog.
So we're going to take your calls on this if you've encountered this in the wild at 1-800-520-1067. I mean, that's what it is. It's this sense of otherness, right? Like you were talking about.
Entitlement.
This person can't be a real American and this person can't be a citizen because they're not speaking English.
Yeah.
You saw it yourself, Jensen.
I think I did. I'm about 90% sure I did. So I pulled up at a gas station on one side of the island, obviously, and then on my same side is a white, kind of like an older Ford Escort kind of looking car. And I sense that she's sort of rambling. And I immediately thought, like, oh, you don't hear that kind of, like, homeless ramble from someone outside of a car much.
Yeah, true.
And she was talking about, like, too many people here and stealing cars. And I just am too – I'm just get this gas thing and tune out. Because you don't think someone in – like, that's just not in my instinct to think that she's talking to anyone.
Right.
So I put the gas in the car and I look over. And on the other side of the island now, a woman has gotten into her car and is driving off. And she turns to her and she says, well, I guess I'll see you in hell then just because I'm Mexican, and kept driving.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my God. She was talking to her the whole time. And then when I turned around to say something to this crazy woman, she was getting into her car, drove off, almost crashed into another car and was yelling at this almost accident. And then she took off.
So she was just smack talking a lady at another pump.
Yes. Yes, and it may have been about an earlier thing before they pulled in, or arguing over getting into the same spot because it's a busy gas station. Mm-hmm. But all I saw was the end of the argument, and now I wish I would have said something, and it's been bothering me since.
Well, I don't know why it's so upsetting to so many people.
It's the height of stupidity to me.
It's the dumbest.
It really is just stupid.
I mean, look, the country's changing. You go with it or you don't, you know?
Yeah.
Agreed.
So let's grab a call here to get started at 1-800-520-1067. Let's make it Tammy, line one. She's in Glendora. Apparently she has encountered this as well. Tammy, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
Hi, yes. I'm not on either side. My story is, I'm just saying, I work for a funeral home. I was with a family, and this gentleman came. He's Italian. He came to see me, but since I was with the family, two other people tried to help him, and they were speaking Spanish before they started helping him.
Mm-hmm.
He was already getting frustrated because no one was helping him. So he immediately said to them, do not speak Spanish. We're in America. And, okay, I don't agree with that part, but the reason why I feel that he was upset is because nobody was helping him. And it brought that out in him, but it doesn't mean that he's racist.
In that particular instance, when he's at a funeral home, I think you can see why he does it, but I feel like it's still a horrible thing to say.
If that's your go-to, instead of just like, why do you have me waiting here forever? I mean, my instinct to be mad about that would be like, listen, I'm in a very bad place. Someone in my life died. Please don't make me wait any longer. If so, I'll come back later. Like, my instinct isn't to bring up race or language.
I agree.
I also
agree that they shouldn't be, you know, if somebody just passed away, why are they speaking a different language? And it is kind of disrespectful, but it's like going into a place. If I'm putting myself in his position, my wife just passed away or my husband just passed away. I'm going into a funeral home. Nobody's helping me. And then they're speaking a different language. I can't even understand what they're saying because I don't know if they're saying, are they going to help me? Are they just having a good time and I'm still waiting here?
Yeah, but they're not talking to you, though.
This seems like an exception.
Yeah.
Just because it's such a unique case and they're at a funeral home and he just lost somebody. I mean, this is all...
Yeah, your nerves are jangled at that point. But we appreciate you listening, Tammy, and thank you so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Have you seen this? Has this happened to you? Have you been the person upset by the Spanish-speaking? We'll hear all sides when we return on K-Rock. Queen V writes in at Kevin Bean on our Twitter account. I was at the beach in San Diego with family recently. An aunt said something to the uncle in Spanish and some lady yelled out from behind us, speak English. We looked around to see who said it, but they didn't show their face. We felt threatened and it ruined our day. Talking about people who encounter the Spanish language out on the street, in the wild, at stores or whatever, and it really upsets them. I don't get it, but there are a lot of people out there who are experiencing this, and I think we're going to start with line four. This is going to be, is it Diamond in La Puente?
Diamond?
Yes. Okay. Hi,
Diamond. Hi. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
So a couple months ago, maybe even last year, me and my family went to Old Town San Diego, and my family was talking Spanish. And this group of people, and of course, some of them were old, walked by, overheard them. So I could overhear their conversation, and they said, I don't know why these Mexicans even come here. They're only hurting themselves. They are basically modern-day slaves.
What the hell?
Why? Look, to play devil's advocate on the what the people were thinking— I don't know. Why wouldn't you be speaking Spanish with your family if that's your first language?
In San Diego. Do they see the irony there at all?
I mean, why wouldn't you be speaking Spanish with each other?
And the thing is that one of them saw that I heard, because my look was, I was appalled, and I just looked at them like, how can you say that? They saw me, and they kind of nudged the other one and said, dude, a Mexican just heard you. And the one that said it said, oh, oops.
Wow. did they go as far as some of the tape we played where they insisted that you produce your papers on demand to prove that you were legally in the country?
To them, by the way.
Yeah, to them. Right. Not to the government. Did you have your papers on you, Diamond?
No, you know what? They basically laughed it off when they realized we heard.
Wow. I'm sorry that happened to you. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Marilyn, line two, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Marilyn, are they telling me you're calling from New York?
No, I'm not calling from New York. I'm calling from Glendale, but I am from New York.
Okay, accent. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
And in a lot of places of employment, I could go on with so many stories, but I won't because I'm old. Like, I'm 69. But in a lot of places of employment, people have to speak English in stores, too, because it's sort of the Seinfeld effect that maybe they're cheating you, maybe they're saying something. I worked for the Board of Education, and there were a lot of people that were saying anti-Semitic things, and they had to speak English, and that was a reason. You know, it's sort of reverse discrimination.
I guess, but they could also do that in a back room if they speak English. It's not, I don't think that solves the idea that they're going to plan on scamming you out of something.
And I also think it's an awfully rude stereotype to assume, hey, since they're speaking Spanish and I don't speak Spanish, they're probably talking bad about me or trying to rip me off. I mean, that seems like the least likely thing an employee at a store is going to be doing.
No, it's not an assumption. It has happened.
Yeah, well, everything has happened.
I have a feeling they were talking bad about Marilyn.
Oh,
agreed.
No.
Yeah. I think I agree.
Yeah.
Marilyn, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Allie, she's 69.
She
deserves to be talked about.
She deserved to be talked
Soul
about.
Soul sister.
Wow. Whatever. Beat it, Marilyn.
Let's go to Trisha.
Like, I do like your argument of it's happened before.
Let's go to Trisha, line 7, Hollywood, up next.
Hey, Trisha.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Como esta?
Please.
Okay, well, I am the one who's actually the one who said the thing about the Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good. Good. Okay. We wanted to hear from you.
Yes, I am the one. I was in an elevator, and these two people got in, and they were speaking Spanish, continuing their conversation, and they were laughing, and I'm a happy person, and I'm a fun person, so I said to them, hey, you guys have to speak English. How can I eavesdrop on your conversation? They just started laughing.
Okay? Yeah, that's because you're lovely, Trisha.
Yeah, that's a funny way to say it.
Yeah, you're not doing it because you think they have to speak your language. You're doing it because you made a joke.
Yeah, and the funny thing was, so I said, they said, well, you guys got to learn Spanish so that you can eavesdrop on the conversation. And I said, well, the only thing I know is donde está la biblioteca. And that basically where's the library. That's the only thing I have to see.
I know boca, por favor.
Hey, there you go.
See?
So one of the guys asked me, he goes, because we're the same company in the entire building. He says, come on up to the fourth floor, and I will teach you Spanish. I said, you got a deal.
Okay.
Wait, Kevin, are you aware that you said mouth,
no,
please?
I have no idea what I just said.
Oh, my God.
Mouth, please.
Sin diente.
What?
What?
Do you mean siete?
I don't know.
Siéntense, por favor. You have no idea what you're saying, but you're telling random people mouth, please. Oh my God, where'd this just go?
Now I feel like Marilyn. I don't think you should be speaking Spanish at all.
Give me some light 8. Give me Carol in Long Beach up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's got a twist on this story.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, Carol. Boca, por favor.
Hi guys.
Hi there.
My thing is kind of like on the opposite end. I've had people actually approach me, excuse me, and they have been upset with me for not speaking Spanish. And then after that, yes, I do get pissed off at them because, you know, obviously I don't speak Spanish, and I tell them, well, they need to speak English. But it's happened on more than one occasion where people have come up to me and speak Spanish, and I have no idea what they're saying, and they get upset with me. Like,
okay.
Why are you upset with me?
Where and how would something like this happen? Like, what are you doing when somebody assumes you should speak Spanish?
You know, they just approach me in the most random places. I'll be at a store. I've had people, you know, I don't know if they think I work there or if they're asking me for directions. I have no idea. And it's so funny because my husband, who I'm what they call, I guess, a whitewashed Mexican. I'm very light skinned with freckles. And he's a dark Hispanic gentleman. And they never do that to him. And he laughs. He's like, why does this always happen to you?
She's saying, I get it more. Now she's saying people think she's betraying her own nationality by not knowing Spanish. Is that what you're saying, Carol?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I don't know how old you are, Carol. And I wouldn't.
I'm 38. Okay, I'm 38, so.
I know that when my wife grew up, and my wife was a Mexican-American, when she grew up, it was very unfashionable, as hard as this is to imagine now, to learn Spanish. It was complete and total
immersion.
Immersion, yes. Thank you, Kevin. Complete and total immersion in English. And they didn't teach any of the kids Spanish. And she was one of the only people. A few years later, everybody was bilingual, and she kind of felt left out and dumb that she never had learned Spanish. And I don't know if that was the case with you or not, that there was some reason why you didn't speak Spanish, but I guess
I definitely don't feel that way, because that's just the language that I was brought up in. Some of my family does speak Spanish, and my husband's family does speak Spanish as well. But
gotcha.
My issue is, don't get upset with me, because I can't answer your question.
Gotcha.
I don't live there. This is why I don't speak the language. I've also had another issue where I've actually gone into a grocery store and asked an employee a question, and they did not speak a lick of English. Now, I understand you can't discriminate and not hire somebody because they don't speak English, but come on, you can't even answer a simple question as to, like, where is the bread?
I think that's legit. I think that's a legitimate reason to get frustrated, by the way.
Maybe, but maybe their job is just stocking the aisles. I mean,
it's possible to communicate, too, without speaking the language. You can get your point across, and they can understand what you're saying.
Like, I love the Target next to my house because they hire a lot of deaf people. And so I have run into it 3 or 4 times at the store, and I have it's a little longer. It takes me a little longer to deal with what I'm looking for, but I love it. I'm always thrilled.
Because they do that.
Yeah, I'm thrilled they hired people that other places might not hire. But
I want to see a video of you trying to use hand signals to point out, hey, I want an Avengers DVD. How did Omar flip a switch and become Homer? How did he get so hot so fast?
I don't think he flipped a switch. I think he's always been super attractive to me.
Yeah, I agree. He's a super hot dude. It wasn't until an Instagram Live when people were like, wait, that's Omar?
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, was it a year ago, year and a half ago, when Steve Carell all of a sudden became hot? He went from the dorky Michael Scott of The Office to, oh my God, he's so hot now. And I think that might have been, did he grow a beard? Is that what he did?
He had a beard. Jimmy became really
Jimmy
hot.
Jimmy hot
Kimmel.
When he got a beard? Yeah.
But Omar doesn't have a beard.
But just be Omar.
Yeah.
Look, he's just been hot the whole time. Yeah. People don't know it.
His hotness transcends hair.
I guess we should have listened to Kevin.
That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping my whole thing is, too.
What?
Like, just over time, I'll get hotter.
Yeah.
You know
sit
what I mean?
Tight.
Yeah. I'll wait it out.
Yeah.
I'm patient more than anything.
That's good.
All right. We appreciate you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on this Tuesday morning. If you miss any of the show, by the way, don't forget, we do have a podcast. You know, it's maybe you listen at this time every day and you miss all the good stuff that happens in the 6 o'clock hour or in the 9 o'clock hour. So you can get the podcast at radio.com or wherever. You're not missing this, though, because it's time for this week's Animal Stories. Hit it,
Steve. Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
No matter how hot he is, I keep telling Omar there's no such animal as a minx, and he refuses to take it out of the intro, but here we are anyway. You guys, I'm sure, saw this story because it was everywhere, and it's a rare triple play here because it's What's Up with Florida, Animal Stories, and Death Corner all rolled into one.
I do find most of my people are dumb stories from Florida as well.
Mm-hmm.
The state that keeps giving.
I was not super familiar with the big bird known as a cassowary. I have seen them before, but you don't hear much about them. This is the world's most dangerous bird, you guys. It stands almost 6 feet tall.
Wow!
Yeah.
And weighs up to 120 pounds. It has sharp claws that can slice open any predator or potential threat with a single swift kick. It runs 30 miles an hour and can jump nearly 7 feet straight up in the air and swim like a champion.
That's a monster.
Yeah, that's a dinosaur. It's not a bird.
It really is
the most... We need to put that down.
Yes.
It's the most dangerous bird in the world. And this poor sucker, a 75-year-old named Marvin Hajos, was not only not putting them down, Kevin, he was raising them. He had a farm full of caraways.
He deserves whatever happens next, then.
Well, whatever happens, he fell down on his property and one of his birds fatally attacked him. His wife said, and I don't know how this helps, that he was doing what he loved when he died, which was what? Getting his eyes scratched out by a giant bird? It doesn't seem like that's
every
how anyone wants to go.
Goes, come on, scratch out the eyes.
Yeah. So, R.I.P. Mr. Hajos, and let's not get castaways as pets, all right? Cassowaries as pets, all right?
Agreed.
Here's a small plane crash that was in the news that killed a 90-year-old pilot. Now, ordinarily, you might see this story and think, well, the guy was 90. He probably wasn't up to it.
He was doing what he loved.
But he was doing what he loved, which is going down in a flaming airplane. Apparently, he has had his active commercial pilot's license since 1945.
Wow.
And at 90, was still flying about 2 or 3 times a week. It was his absolute passion. How did he die? It seems like his dog killed him. Jasmine, a 70 to 75-pound Labradoodle, apparently, this is the conclusion of the NTSB, is that somehow the dog got into the controls, fell into or pushed into or something like that, and forced the plane down.
No!
Yes.
Maybe he just got too old, and he's like, you want to give it a try?
Yeah, he thought it was a co-pilot.
So he switched seats.
You take over, Jim.
He was like, Jim, we got the Nazis again. We got to take them out. Take the wheel. I'll shoot.
Well, this is what's interesting to me. So the NTSB, they do their analysis like they do. They said that the engine data shows that there were no mechanical issues with the plane. They were able to take a look at the path, and it looked like it just went just straight down into the ground. He had no drugs or alcohol in his system. But here's the curious part for me. The plane crashes. The dog unbuckles his seatbelt, jumps out of the plane, and starts running away from the wreckage.
The dog was fine. It on purpose.
The dog killed him.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
How does a dog unbuckle its seatbelt?
How does a dog crash a plane?
Why is it in a seatbelt?
And get away with it. I think this dog took the old man out.
Yeah.
It's like Cujo learned to fly.
I don't like it.
It is. I'm sure there'll be a movie. I don't need to tell you more of this story than the headline, but this is one of those rare occasions where in animal stories you're rooting for the animals. A skull and a pair of trousers is all that remained after a suspected rhino poacher was killed by an elephant and then eaten by lions in Kruger National Park, South Africa.
Yeah. Love it.
Support it.
I mean,
we're
totally down with the rhinos and the elephants and the lions in that case,
and the
right?
poachers are the worst.
Absolute worst, yeah. A lot of Kevin Bean listeners sent me the story this week, and it is, in fact, terrifying. This is a 28-year-old woman. Her name is just identified as Ms. Hay, H-E. I assume it's Hay, he, perhaps. She was weeding around her relatives' graves. It's apparently an annual festival where she lives in China, where you go out and that's what you do. It's called a tomb sweeping festival, and you go out and you clean up around your loved one's graves.
Festival seems to be a bad word. It seems to be inaccurate.
Yeah. Put down flowers. It's just once a year to make sure that there's maintenance. Okay. So a gust of wind blew something into her eyes that she thought was dirt. However, hours later, her eyes were still swollen and it really hurt. So she decided to go for medical help in a hospital in southern Taiwan. A badly swollen eye when she walked in. She couldn't even completely close her eyes. The doctor says, I looked into the gap with a microscope, and I saw something black that looked like an insect leg.
Oh,
I grabbed the leg and very slowly pulled it out. And then another one. And then another. And another. They were bees.
Nope.
That were all intact and all alive.
No!
And in her eye.
Hold on. What?
Yes, these are, in fact, they even call them, this is not their official name, but the nickname is sweat bees. They are attracted to tears. They apparently get nutrients out of tears, that's what they go for, is they go for your eyes. She had four of them in her eyes.
How big are these?
They,
6 feet. Isn't that weird?
Oh.
Yeah, each one.
They're small enough that they can get into her eyes, but, it's not good, I'll tell you that.
Is that your official diagnosis?
These bees don't usually attack people that they like drinking sweat, hence they get their name. And the doctor said that she was very, very lucky that she didn't rub her eyes or something like that, because they do release a venom that can kill you.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah. It's not...
I hate animal stories.
It's not what you hope at all. And one more, and this is, we have audio for this one. This is a, what kind of a bird is he?
Terrifying, if this is any sort of pattern today.
Right? It's not a castaway.
Kill someone?
He's probably a parrot. He's a parrot or a cockatoo or something like that. His name is Mr. Magoo. And he really has some problems with the music that his owner is having Alexa play. She recently wanted to enjoy a little Frank Sinatra. Here's what Mr. Magoo had to say about it.
To be a part of it, New York, New York.
Alexa, stop.
Let go. I like that song. Alexa, Alexa, play New York, New York.
Scene from New York, New York, by Frank Sinatra.
Alexa, stop.
That's bird saying, Alexa, stop?
No.
Yes. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
You guys, they're getting smarter. They're getting smarter. They've crashed a plane.
That's insane.
This is all bad.
That bird sounds like a man.
Mr. Magoo is like, Sinatra, F you. And that's Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to kill.
Yes, you can turn on Beer Mug's microphone. He was invited.
It was on, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know how you do. Hey, Mugs.
Yo, yo.
First of all, how was Las Vegas?
I didn't go to Las Vegas. I was sick, guys. Truly, I was sick. Yeah.
I just know when people start taking extra days off around a holiday weekend, it sounds to me like they got a vacation.
It would have been opportune, but no. I stayed home and rested up and got better.
How you feeling now?
All the coughing. I'm done coughing up a lung, but I still can't talk.
All right. Well, that has nothing to do with being sick.
Yeah, that's not going to change. Did you infect everyone in the bar when you went out to do Cheers with Beer Mug?
No, because I think they had enough alcohol in them to kill every virus known to man.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Where do you go? Where is this magic made?
This is O'Grady's in Granada Hills. It's a very famous dive watering hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's quite the list of characters in the bar. This week, you know, with me being so successful at my side hustles.
Like, I'm sorry?
So successful at all my side hustles, like mumble rapper, battle rapper, ASMR video host.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this job that I do here at the Kevin and Bean Show is a fun job. But it wasn't all roses for me when I started out. You know, I used to work as a courtesy clerk at Ralph's cleaning up spills on aisle 4.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I used to load trucks in the morning at UPS bright and early. It's actually what got me ready for this job. You know, all the physical labor I did, it was a tough job. So I wanted to go out and see what the worst job that these people had was.
All right.
In this edition of Cheers with Beer Mug.
Thank you.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Right?
So everyone has a bad job or two, especially in the early years of their career. You went to the bar to ask the patrons there if they can remember through their alcohol-induced fog what bad jobs they had.
So two things. One, listen to Mugs, always, because he gets drunk pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And two, don't be eating breakfast.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
John, what's the worst job you've ever had?
Well, when I was in the Navy, I was a boiler technician. And the worst job you could possibly get was called mucking bilges. You had to pick up the plates underneath the boiler and crawl down between the pipes and clean out all the dirt and grease. And these guys used to spit tobacco down there and clean it all out and dry it off and then paint it. It was the most horrible thing you ever did in your life.
So you're saying don't join the Navy?
I love the Navy. Are you kidding? In the Navy.
Esther, what's the worst job you've ever had?
Retail. I used to work at The Gap. 4 a.m. shifts, inventory, work with people that I hated.
But I'm sure you got a lot of cool performance fleece.
No, all I got was like
Oh, that's Old Navy. I
Old Navy.
Stacey, what's the worst job you've ever had?
Drunk Mugs has already lost track of what's going on.
The worst job? Probably a job.
I'm talking about occupations here, Stacey. And
how do you know it's not an occupation? You're just assuming that, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about occupations here, Stacey, and your mind just went to the gutter, huh?
I was working at a car wash out in Arizona, and they ended up having to put me in the tanks down underneath to clean out the recycled water tanks. That was disgusting.
Oh, did you have to wear like a hazmat suit?
Yep. Hazmat suit, respirators. First thing I did when I got down there is I puked about 3 seconds into it.
Oh, my God. What was the craziest, like, thing you saw in that water?
Oh, it was all nasty stuff in there. There was dead birds, dead rats. There was all kinds of crap down there you wouldn't imagine.
What's the worst job you've ever had?
Scaffolding.
Is that what you do now?
Yeah, because I love it and I'm good at it.
What job would you not want to do in this life?
Scaffolding.
Oh, is it?
Scaffolding, because it's hard on your back. But I love it, though.
But you wouldn't want to do it, but that's what you do now?
But I love it, though. I love the thrill of heights and putting it together and have to think and protect people and stuff like that.
Is that a young lady or a young man?
That is a man, Dean.
He is a man. I couldn't tell.
No.
He is medicating himself for that awful job, isn't he?
Loves it and hates it.
Scaffolding, yep. Guys.
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came. Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
Brian Callen is here. Brian.
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be here. Very excited.
Tiny bit late. It's all right.
Yeah, you know what
it is? We have no problem with that.
I know. I was doing calisthenics. I like to hold a squat for at least 40 minutes in the morning. And if I don't, I'm real ornery.
Is that right?
Yeah, you want my thighs burning when I come in here. You want my thighs burning. Otherwise, it's just too much energy that comes out of my vocal cords. You know what I mean? Otherwise, I'm pushing from my hara. And the hara is the area just below your belly button. She knows. She knows how to. You know, you sit on the floor. You're a subversive Easterner.
Why does everyone get so upset that I sit on the floor?
Because you're a communist. Every time I see a guy, rudimentary. I'm real rudimentary. I don't need a chair.
I sit on the floor. I like it.
Yeah.
And it makes everyone uncomfortable.
It's off-putting.
You probably like
it
socialism,
is,
too.
I mean, it has nothing to do with that.
You see?
It has nothing to do with that. It's just that I like to sit on the floor.
Jensen, on the other hand, sits in chairs.
I sit in very high chairs.
Of course you do.
Looking down on
you. You're so condescending.
Yeah.
You're the giraffe of human beings.
Brian thinks that my name is very bougie. It's like a highfalutin.
Jensen Karp.
Yeah. I think it's not that way.
Well, your voice sounds rather...
I'm a Muppet.
Well, it's Kermit.
Yeah.
Is that right? But
so it doesn't help Jensen Karp being...
Which is my advice to you is to change a bit more deep with your voice.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay.
It's me, Jensen Karp.
May I introduce to
Jensen Karp? Yeah, but then you go, hey, it's me, Jensen Karp. Everybody's like, oh, there he is.
By the way, he's having a son and he's trying to figure out a name.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we've tried to give him some suggestions.
Three
and
months.
I think some of them have.
My friend had a daughter and she named her Doug.
Doug?
Funniest thing I've ever heard. I go, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. She goes, her name is Doug. Dougie.
No,
Doug.
It's not.
No, it isn't really, though.
That's what I said. And she showed me I have it on my phone. She showed me the birth certificate. Hilarious.
Is there a middle name that she can adjust to?
Right? Just Doug.
Were they expecting a son?
I don't know. I was going to name my son.
How do you not follow up for the rest of time?
I said, if that's true, that's the single greatest thing I've ever heard. That's my text. I have my text chain right here. She goes, no, it's Doug. Her name is Doug. You know,
that's terrible.
Like, but also, I kind of love it.
D-U-G?
D-O-U-G. Well, on the birth certificate, it says Dougie.
Right.
But you're going to call her Doug.
Doug, yeah.
Especially if you're playing ball. But I was going to name There's no time. Well, I moved too quick. There's no time for Dougie.
No.
By the time Dougie, right. I've already taken my shot.
Right, yeah. Right.
I've already slam dunked on you. Dougie Radouche. That'd be a good name for a kid. Radouche.
I'll put it down. Write that down.
Radouche.
He's still looking.
I was going to name my son Gus because it's such a comedic
name.
I kind of like Gus.
The only problem with Gus is that nobody's ever calling Gus. That just sounds like a damper. Where did you bring Gus? Don't invite Gus.
Aww.
He's such a drip.
Just feels negative to
it
you.
It feels drippy.
Hey, Gus is here.
Yeah,
no.
You're right.
No.
Yeah.
You're right. It's kind of a bummer.
My dad was going to call my brother Hud. Up until Hud. Like the point Hud's where my mom's like, name. You can't put that on
Wait,
the birth certificate.
Like Hudson?
No, just Hud. He's like, what about Hud?
I named my son Finn.
Beautiful
I love
name.
That.
Finn is, it's a Gaelic name. Yep. Finn.
Beautiful name.
Is it it's, Phineas or just
nah,
Finn?
Just Finn. It's Gaelic. You know, it's Gaelic. It stands for the triangular growth that juts from a shark's back. Finn. And it's ancient Gaelic. Yes. No, but I spell it with many N's. With five N's. Finn.
Five N's. That's yes, nice. Yes.
Nobody names their kid Finn.
No. You're alone.
Yes. Finn.
You told us as you sat down that you lost your wallet for a week.
A week.
Yeah. And didn't cancel any of your cards?
No. Nah, I live That's on the crazy. Edge, brother. I live on the edge. I assume my son had taken it. I always assume
is he a thief?
Takes no, but like my key will be missing, and then I'll find it in someone's shoe. And he's like, hee, you know,
and then
I strike him with a rattan can.
Doesn't it bother you? Your wallet. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, you need to cancel those credit cards pretty much immediately.
No, I don't agree. Because, you know, look, man, you just tell the bank somebody stole my... But it's hard to
You tell the bank somebody stole my wallet a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I misplaced it. I was looking. The problem is the driver's license when you're trying to rent a car.
Right.
And when I'm in... I was in Kansas City, so I had to get myself a horse. Yeah.
How do you rent a horse? How does that work? How's the process?
You break one. You find one wild.
You go
jogging, and when they're drawn to you the way they are me, you break the horse. They usually bow at my feet. I get on that bad boy and I ride hard. She's producing estrogen. She can't take her eyes off me.
Oh
right
my
now.
God, I can't.
And I don't wear a shirt when I ride. You guys know this.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin knows
know.
This.
Of course. Seen it.
Kevin knows this. He meditates in a field while I ride around him, and I create horse waves. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But apparently, I thrive off of
That's
those
right.
horse waves.
Right. So people say, Brian, you smell like hay and horse leather.
Oh yeah.
And I go, that ain't an accident. And I go, the horse leather's weird though because I don't use a saddle. My crotch smells hard.
Like horse.
My crotch smells like horse. Like wet horse.
Well,
because it gets wet, because it gets sweaty. Don't
right.
be perverted.
No, I understand that.
Sweaty
not
from
being,
you or man, sweaty from the
you've
horse?
You've been riding a wet horse. Well, it started dry until I broke it. And then he got all wet. I mean, he sweat. I got wet, but not in the girl way.
I don't wanna...
Too much? What am I saying?
Yeah, I don't want to think
right,
of
man.
I don't want to think of you that way.
Right, how did we get on horses?
I don't know.
Oh, we started talking about Jensen.
Yeah.
No,
we started talking about your wallet and rental cars.
I don't remember.
So after a week, you found your wallet.
I found it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happened?
Near
to
the electronic drum set I bought my son.
Okay, so it was your son?
Still your son?
Mm-mm.
Did he take it?
No, I think I went in there with a bunch of stuff in my hand, like my boxing gloves and my headgear. That's right. A spar. And I was probably a little nervous because I got in the ring and, you know, banging up a little
Why
bit.
Why only staring at me?
Like, really staring you down.
And by the way, even worse is if I'm just staring at your chest.
Yeah.
Not looking at your eyes.
Jesus. Eyes are up here.
All I'm saying is when I step to a man in a ring or even on the street, I'm looking at his chest. Make sure I know how he moves. You understand? Your eyes are going to...
Don't mean anything.
Well, your eyes are going to trick me because you got deception in your eyes.
Sure.
But your chest
doesn't lie.
Your chest doesn't lie.
All right, Brian Callen is here, and I have no idea how this is going.
Sorry, Kevin.
But the podcast is The Fighter and the Kid, and the TV show is School that airs Wednesdays at 8:30 on ABC. We're going to take a break.
Yeah, and Complicated Apes, the number one comedy special in America.
Yeah,
or the world.
I watched that last night, actually. Yes. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Never have any idea where the conversation is going to go when Brian Callen
is
here. That's right.
No.
We went to vasectomies.
We did?
Mm-hmm. Street fighting, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And how you almost beat up a guy in New York except for?
I had a double hernia, so I had to waddle after him. I love when guys say, I almost beat that guy up. Did you? Did you have words? In your mind, did you think, I should beat this guy up?
Most guys like to pose like they're going to fight, but they do not want to fight whatsoever.
Of course not. That's why you never know who you're dealing with. It's terrifying to fight. And I love when guys get into a little scuffle, and a year later, they're like, nah, I was... Four dudes, and one guy was on horseback, another guy could control the weather, and another guy had a bag of asps. That's a poisonous snake. He was throwing them at my throat. I slew them all. I slew them all with karate, and I did it in the air. I do a lot of training in the air, flying kicks.
You know how to fight, though.
I mean, come on.
Do you?
I don't know. I mean,
you know how to fight.
I practice it.
Well, of course, then. You know how to fight.
I box.
But that guy on the street, you could have taken him had you not
I
had
can,
the...
Anybody on the street.
You could take.
I'll keep him busy. This is my favorite.
Keep him busy is what my favorite
is that your
way
goal? To, just ask me what I would do if some dude, some random dude came at me.
Okay, he comes at you. What do you do?
I meet him halfway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You see how vague I leave it? I just leave it vague.
Yeah, that sounds like you're ending in a draw.
Now ask me what happens if me and Jensen get in a fight.
What happens if you and Jensen get in a fight?
He remembers.
So you're not really answering the
ask
question.
For how long?
For how long?
The rest.
You don't even have time of his life?
Yeah, I'm general, bro. I'm general. I'm just general.
How many fights have you been in the wild?
In the wild?
I mean, like not
in
training.
The wild.
Not in training. In the wild.
When I was doing work for the government. I mean, does it count? Does sneaking up on a sentry in moccasins count? You know what I mean? It all depends.
No.
Are you talking about dispatching a man?
How
you
many
about
fights have you been in outside of training? Not
very few.
Three.
More.
Six.
But I don't want to talk about, because this sounds like I'm a comedian.
Right.
Acting like I'm, like, talking about fighting. I have too many friends that are real fighters. So if I start talking about, like, fights in college, it's embarrassing that I back kicked some guy and he went, ow. I mean, this is terrible. I'm not a tough guy.
It's not the fighter and the fighter. It's the fighter and the kid.
Yeah. So. It's the fighter and the kid.
Yeah.
But
who named you the kid?
But again,
how'd you
me.
Get the, did I, it, you did.
Me. I started on a movie set with Jane Lynch.
Okay.
And I came and I decided, you know what? I'm going to, and I came to set and I said, from now on, you'll refer to me as the kid. And then they started calling me kid and I went, it's the kid. I just like that one. It's ridiculous. It's just that I don't age. You know how my skin stays
it's
tight?
Very supple. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now you're looking at a tulip leaf.
Yeah.
You ever seen a tulip petal?
Yeah.
You know how it's got that sort of like, I don't know what it is.
Like dew.
That dewy kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know how my face resembles that?
That your face is
filled
with dew?
You know how my face has a patina?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you get a pair of bespoke shoes in England, you spend $3,500 on them,
mm-hmm.
and the leather's got a patina to it?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you see how that resembles my face?
Yes.
Yeah. Brian is 79. A lot of people don't know that because he looks so young.
Exactly. Well, I meditate. I practice meditation. I practice Dzogchen meditation.
Oh, wow.
That's my favorite.
Specific.
Yes, you got to get specific. When I train in Dzogchen meditation in Tibet with my Rinpoche.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Just making up words now, right?
I like that. I have become somewhat enlightened, and it's fun now that I, because once I reached Satori, I...
What does that mean?
I'm sorry. That means enlightenment. That's Japanese. That's
okay.
Japanese.
You're just making stuff up now.
Yes. But it is fun to finally sort of reach enlightenment because I can help people, addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And sluts and whoever needs
you can help sluts.
Yes,
that's fantastic.
I want them to know it's okay.
To be sluts.
Daddy has the answers here.
Never refer to yourself as daddy.
Well, no, I'm just saying
because you can't be the kid and daddy at the same time.
Well, you know how the Holy Trinity. You can be the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
I can be daddy. And
can I just say that you're not the Trinity? You're not the Holy Trinity.
He's daddy.
He's really not.
You're not the Trinity.
I can't be walking contradiction. What's the problem here?
Everyone has two sides.
Exactly.
Duality.
Look, I'm trying to talk about my root chakra, and you guys keep bringing it. You guys keep bringing it
back to daddy.
Up to the clouds. Yeah, can we bring it? Can we go low and hard for a second?
Sure.
Did you question Gandhi, Kevin?
I mean, Gandhi. Yeah. I never interviewed Gandhi.
Well, now you have.
Well, be more Western, dude. Whatever.
Now that you're enlightened?
Yeah, let me guess. You're into meat and hunting
and
free markets.
I mean, I like eating meat, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do I. My daughter's a vegetarian, quote unquote, at 10 years old. It drives me crazy.
When did she come to that realization?
Who knows, man? Who knows?
Well, I'm saying, at what
she's
age did she start
being educated in Los Angeles in the liberal bastion that is Los Angeles, okay? That doesn't seem that apparently meat is murder now. And all I think about is her walking around protein deficient.
Oh, dear.
I know. Oh, God, no. Hey, don't shield your eyes. We're talking about meat. Although I do admit that I did make this bridge between my root chakra and meat.
Right.
That was you.
Is there anywhere I can throw up?
I mean, you said it, but Allie interpreted it.
I like that Allie hid her eyes.
She did. She actually covered her face.
But in
for a
reason. In a very geisha kind of way. Like, she could see through her eyes. Oh, I can't look at that.
She was more voguing.
Exactly. This is yours. I'm your guru.
Let
me help you.
And the best.
Here's a mint julep. I'm going to take some photographs while you breathe. While we sit with that lump in your throat. This is emotional.
Grosser.
What? Whatever, Jensen.
Jensen, you want to hear from
Jensen, you should be in the corner petting a cat going, there.
When you walked in, that was your immediate impression of him. Why? Exactly. What was the word you used?
Because of something about Jensen Compton.
What was the word you used?
An aristocrat.
Aristocrat. Yeah.
Jensen owns land and hounds.
I mean, it's not even close.
No.
If that matters.
I do own hounds.
No. Yes. He's got servants named Nicholas and Tabitha. Yes. Tabitha, I wish to pet my cat at the moment. What's your cat's name?
Bill.
No. Of course not.
That's not regal enough.
His name is William. But she's a female.
It's a male. But
okay, I know. You thought at first when you rescued her that she was... You found her in a basket somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You thought she was...
In the field.
You thought she was... You assumed she was male.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was full of mange. You didn't touch her, of course. You had your servants restore her.
Tabitha.
And now you enjoy petting her on your lap.
Yeah.
Your lap.
While smoking a pipe?
Yes. Yes. There's something very perverse about smoking a pipe. You smell like cat and pipe. I smell like wet horse. We're making an amazing couple.
Brand new comedy special is called Complicated
Apes. Complicated Apes. Let's get back to that.
Yeah.
Complicated Apes.
I watched it yesterday. It's fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
You talk about your family, your kids.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't like to be your kids.
Why?
Jeez. I don't know, because you say one of them...
Well, my daughter watched. My kids were there for the tape.
Oh, they were. Okay.
It was so fun. 7 and 10. And my daughter at 10 went. She looked at me and she goes, you were exaggerating about us. And that's all she said. I said, what do you think of it? She goes, I thought you exaggerated about us. And some of those stories aren't even true. But they are, child. But it was fun. It was fun to talk about. The response has been interesting because I wasn't sure how it would be received.
Why?
It's just been, because it meant so much to me. I was trying to kind of comment on how we treat each other like nouns.
Right.
And not like verbs. Human beings are complicated apes, sinners and saints and everything in between. But we tend to like reduce to each other. It's fun to categorize your enemy. And you can't categorize your enemy unless you use one word.
Right.
Liberal, conservative, Muslim, immigrant, black, white, brown, Latino. Those things don't mean anything. So...
And it's also reducing them to much less than they are.
A gender code, a color code, straight, white, male. That doesn't exist. Human beings are way too complicated. And that's why you treat everybody like an individual. because you're too complicated. There are too many things, too many layers.
I watched the special, and it's hilarious. Thanks. But I had to pay $4.99 for it. So
yeah,
where do people get it? Is it?
You can rent it on iTunes. You can rent or buy it anywhere on like 50 different platforms, including Xbox and PlayStation, iTunes, YouTube.
Yeah, it's the
Google
same way you
Play.
Can get like a movie. Like, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just go find it where you pick up.
It's been amazing.
Digitally.
It's actually been the reach has been amazing. So I didn't realize how many people do that, especially in worldwide. So it's been cool to get.
Yeah, I get so much stuff from Apple TV that way. Just things that are under comedy and Apple TV.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I would search that out if I were you. All right.
Thank you.
We're out of time, but before you go, we want to do 60 seconds with
you.
So I'm going to fire questions at you, and you just answer with whatever comes to your mind.
Do it.
60 seconds with Brian Callen.
Okay.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
Vet.
Describe yourself in a hashtag.
Immortal. What? That's what the doctor says. That's what the doctor said when I did my physical.
Here are a few topics that we've discussed on the show recently. When in the shower, do you use a washcloth?
No, I have someone do that for me.
What percentage of the time do you face the shower head, and what percentage of the time do you face away from the shower head?
Well, I ride it hard and dirty, so I gotta spend a lot of time, my three-piece set hits the water first. Let's put it that way.
Basically.
Yeah. Because I got to wash the sin off that bad boy. Right? You know what I mean? He's full of sin.
What's your favorite cereal?
I don't eat grains. What's the question?
You don't eat grains.
I'm kidding. I like slow-cooked oatmeal.
Okay. Do you sleep only on one side of the bed, or do you change
Correct.
It up?
Only one side.
Do you have any...
Near my gun.
I'm sorry, gun. Near your gun?
Near my gun. I say my gun, not my gun.
near my
gun or my piece.
Your piece, yeah.
Yeah, me pistola. My pistola.
Brian Callen, Complicated Apes.
Yes, sir.
That's the name of it.
Mm-hmm. Always fun with you guys.
Find it, watch it. Thank you for coming.
I
We're
didn't miss Bean.
You.
God bless him.
Yesterday on the program, we were talking about my New Orleans Baby Cakes, the AAA affiliate for the Miami Marlins, because it was the T-shirt I was wearing for the T-shirt challenge that Jensen and I do every day on our social media.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talking about minor league baseball parks and all the crazy promotions that they do to get people through the doors. And I like this one a lot. This is the A's minor league team, the Stockton Ports. Okay, the Stockton Ports.
That's a terrible sports name.
It is. I feel like in the world of the Rumble Ponies, the Ports need to step
right?
it up, right?
The Trash Pandas.
I mean, yeah, the Trash Pandas, the Baby Cakes, come on. Well, here's what they're doing. They're very excited. Beginning opening night this season, fans can pick their opponents' walk-up music.
Now, this is a thing in baseball where you pick your own music to walk out to when you're going to bat.
Yes. That's right.
And you can pick anything?
Yes.
Okay.
There are restrictions. You obviously can't have the F word in your song and things
like
that.
So, family-friendly.
Family-friendly, right. Okay. So, you go to the Stockton Ports game, and whoever you're playing, you go, oh, I hate that player, man. And you put down $10, and you get to pick the specific player. You're overriding his walk-up music.
Love it.
You get to pick it. So it can be Loser.
Love
it. Can be anything that you want it to be. It could be Barbie Girl. You know, just something like humiliating for him, which I think is a fantastic idea.
Agreed.
So that kind of got us into the topic about walk-up songs. And there are a couple that are really interesting this year going on around the major leagues. Elvis Andrus, who's the superstar shortstop for the Texas Rangers. You're not going to believe it. This is what he walks out to every at-bat.
Andrus.
That's awesome.
Why would he? Is he doing that as a shout out to young kids at home or something?
Can't be great.
That's amazing.
I feel like he's probably at home with his kid hearing it all the time, and he's like, that's the song I hear the most. Why not come out?
Sure. In case you're wondering, Cody Bellinger, the Los Angeles Dodgers, walks out to Hotel California. Justin Turner of the Dodgers is using an original song that his friend Brad Paisley wrote for him.
What?
Oh, that's baller.
Baller. That is
yeah,
baller,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Song is called Gatorade, so he's probably making some money off of that as well. We started thinking about when we get to the major leagues.
Mm-hmm. When we start playing baseball?
When we start playing baseball, that's going to be a question that what uniform number do you want? What's your walk-up song going to be? Allie, I know you already dubbed 69. I know you got that already nailed down.
Nice.
But what's your walk-up music? That's the topic on the table right now. And I think we've given it some thought. We've all come up with our suggestions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I'm in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm in the on-deck circle.
Yes.
And now it's time.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you kind of gallop up?
Of course.
I would also use the bat as like a stripper pole.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now we're all looking at the bat and thinking about ponies. We know what's going on here. All right. That's a good choice. I think people would like it. How about you, Allie?
Mine is a song that no matter where you are, when you hear it, you instantly get happy because it's by one of the greatest groups ever, TLC.
Hey, yeah, I want to shoot.
Or Salt and Pepper.
Oh, did I say TLC?
Yeah, I was like.
Or Salt and Pepper.
Listen, way.
Both
listen.
Black females.
Wow.
It's okay.
Yeah. That was horrible. Oh.
This is a good one, though. This is a good pick. Yeah, I can see walking out to that.
Yeah, but you got to get into the lyrics, and then it's
well, I don't think we have time for the whole song.
Okay.
I mean, you've already struck out at this point.
I mean, I struck out by singing TLC. Good Lord.
Muggs, how about you? You're a huge baseball fan. You probably grew up wanting to be a major league player. What would your walk-up song be in your imagination?
I just play this out in my head. Now batting number 27 for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Beer Mug.
Maybe I'll get a taco.
Supreme.
Maybe I'll get some nachos.
It's
maybe I'll
just get a song.
And that
amazing.
Means I can eat Mo. Then I might go back for Mo.
Seconds.
Then I'll hit toilet bowl.
You would be the only major league player who comes out to his own hit.
Right?
Perfect.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's baller. Also the only major league player that would come out to the words poo-poo. How about you, O?
This is a classic for me. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. And this is it. I just love the fact that people be like, what the hell is happening? I love that.
Or let's get another beer. I'm confused. All right. Little Chip, if you defected from playing hockey and started playing baseball, first of all, you'd have the tiniest strike zone ever. I think you'd be walking a lot, but what would you come out to the plate with?
I mean, it'd be easy for me because I'm from Orange County, maybe pick like an Offspring song or Social Distortion, but I think right now, you know what I have to pick.
First of all, awesome. Second of all, Biscuit for Weedy. Exactly.
I have a feeling you wouldn't be the only Major League Baseball player with a Limp Bizkit song as your walk-up. But
I think you're right.
Great choice.
Although there are fewer and fewer white players all the time, Jensen, so maybe she would be.
That's true.
All right, I gave this a lot of thought, No, I'm serious.
No,
I did. I gave
Lord.
It a lot of thought.
Imagine
and I just,
Gene playing in the Major Leagues.
First of all, I'd be great
His
at it.
His strike zone is the biggest strike zone in history.
Second of all, I'm practically the Flash on the bases.
Sure.
I could beat out any infield single I could beat out.
Steal any base, including home.
I've given this a lot of thought, and I'm just going to go with my favorite song of all time.
Oh,
because
no.
Imagine the electricity
no.
in the ballpark. Now announcing Bean Baxter. And then the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald starts, and I am as slow as possible getting to the batter's box because I want to hear as much of the song as I can.
But the song is like 15 minutes long.
No.
Just oh, my God. Imagine though. The whole stadium just, like, falling asleep slowly.
Right, then Bean gets up and gets a single and turns it into a home run because everybody's sleeping. But, I mean, as I'm walking up to the plate, I'm, like, using the bat to, like, knock the dirt off my cleats, and then I'm kind of adjusting the, you know, the uniform a little bit.
And then you point to the right field wall.
I definitely do some of that.
Somebody in the dugout goes, can we overrule this?
I step into the batter's box, then hand up, get a little timeout, step out of the batter's box. Just because I want to get to the hook.
There's no hook. I've already heard the hook five times.
I want to hear the whole song every time.
Mm.
All right, Jensen, you're our last batter on the team. What do you have?
I kind of went the other way with it. I want you to imagine that the stadium is filled with baseball fans, maybe even Dodger fans.
Okay.
And baseball's not necessarily known as the most inclusive sport.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And I just want you to imagine that they've announced my name. I've kicked the dirt off of my cleats. Ladies and gentlemen, Jensen Karp.
It's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining men.
Yeah. And I'm thrilled, and I'm dancing to the batter's box, and I'm kicking my feet up.
I love it.
And
by the way, the whole crowd would be waiting for you to come up to bat just so they can go crazy again.
Come out with your rainbow-colored bat.
Oh, I think it would be incredible. And also, I feel like I'd be doing a service to the country.
Yeah, I'm paying to see this team, you guys.
I'm not paying to see Beans, though. If Jensen could bat.